United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Jim Baker resigned.
Let's go! to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call the Dr. Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
You know, six. Are you plugged in? You sure you're not plugged in? Six. You're the engineer today. Hey, guys, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And Six is almost like the Browns. He left the building. Hi, Six.
No, y'all like the Browns running 3 minutes behind.
Oh, okay. Hey. You need to set your wife up with a mic. What is up with that? You just don't want her to tell on you.
No, I ain't got nothing to hide.
Save it. You may not have anything to hide, but you don't want everything out.
I ain't got nothing to hide for the last 30 years.
You tell stories. There's something out there, and we're going to find it.
Well, everybody's got a skeleton or two buried somewhere.
Not me. I'm like government. I'm transparent.
Transparent.
Hey,
transparent like a quart of used motor oil.
I'm transparent. That's what isn't that what they said?
Most transparent administration in history.
Yes, most transparent government. That's right. I'm transparent. Absolutely, you can see right through me.
All out there on C-SPAN.
Absolutely, you can see it on C-SPAN. You can see it on CNN, NBC. I got to. The number is 347-945-5229. We've got an Ohio State Patrolman that's going to come in and talk to us about traveling.
Lieutenant Livingston's going to be here at 1230.
Lieutenant Livingston?
Livingston. He's the post commander at Canfield.
Yeah,
Canfield Post.
I got to be friends with him.
That's right.
He's going to be on with us. But before then, I got to talk about Mark Halperin. I played his clip yesterday for a good 12 minutes, played what he said about the death panels and all. This morning he's trying to backpedal. He's trying to go, hey, I didn't, well, see, this is, he's trying to do the Obama.
Obama shuffle.
Right.
Okay.
Because, see, I said it, but I really didn't mean it. So you just heard it the wrong way, so it couldn't be what I said, because what I said was not what it was supposed to be, so.
I'm telling you, I had a foreman when I was in the mill, and he would always use this statement. Brother, I never lied to you. It was the truth as I knew it at the time.
And the truth has now changed.
And the truth has changed.
What am I going to do with people? What's going on, Sticks?
It's snowing.
What do you mean it's snowing? That's a little precipitation.
I don't know about up here. I got like a foot and a half in my driveway.
How long did it take you to get from Southington to back to your house?
A little over an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
He loves me. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Because only love would do that for me and then come back.
Yeah. It's just right at the other end of 534. I mean, it's not hard to find.
Yeah, it's like trying to find your church.
No. When you said at the corner of 422 and 534, you meant it.
I meant that.
And it is.
And it is right there at the intersection.
And 534 dead ends about 3 miles from my house, right in front of Damascus Friends Church. Not hard to find.
Not just keep on going, but it's a long road.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long road.
But it was a short drive. Amy called me on the way home, so we had a nice long conversation. So. She calls me every day on her way home from work.
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's still daddy's little girl.
What do you mean she's still daddy's little girl?
She's still daddy's little girl. I think what she does, though, to be honest.
I think it's you.
No, I think she calls me every day to vent about work, so when she gets at home, she doesn't holler at her husband.
That works. I like that.
Because I get 15, 20 minutes every night of what went wrong at work today.
Well, that's good. That's
so
good.
I'm pretty sure I'll call Dad and vent on him, then I don't go home and vent on my husband.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Actually, it is.
Listen, I want to make an announcement. For those of you who live in the Mahoning Valley, the Village Marketplace, the Valley Marketplace is open today, Wednesday. Usually they're open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but they're open today special. They have fresh-cut meats. They have a butcher shop right there inside of the Valley Marketplace. They also have fresh bread, fresh rolls, dinner rolls. So if you're looking for your dinner rolls, and, you know, some of us, as we do a potluck, they tell you to bring the rolls. Well, if you don't feel like bacon today, if you stop over there and go see Cora's Bakery, you can actually, it's called Cora's Cookies and Such. You can actually go in there and act like you have stayed inside the kitchen for a long time and throw a little flour on your face and put it on your fingernails and act like you didn't. And they'll never know the difference and just say, hey, I brought the rolls. They're a whole lot better than Brown and Serves. They're really, really good. So you can stop over there and get fresh dinner rolls over at the Valley Marketplace. Also, the butcher is open, Kill Creek Meats. They're open. They're smoking turkeys there, so if you want to get a turkey, you better hurry up and call them. But, you know, they do have them there. They may have some that are already smoked, but all you have to do is pick them up and go. They also have the fixings for the sides if you need it. It's over on South Avenue. They're open now, I believe, until 4 o'clock. They've been open all morning. You've got some stuff in there, your fresh orange juices and those kinds of things. So if you're trying to find something to take with you for your Thanksgiving dinner, please go over to the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in the Georgetown Plaza or in the old Aldi Pacatan Plaza. And I promise you, you'll be very, very pleased when you get there.
You said they had smoked turkeys.
Smoked turkeys.
How do they keep them lit?
Not the turkey's not smoking.
Okay.
At least you're not as corny as Ben. That's good. Oh, what else? What else is going on out there? Hey, brother man, how you doing? Lloyd, people that are in the chat room. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Want everyone to be careful as they travel. The roads, if you can get to a main road, you're in business. But if you're on the side roads, sorry. But I have to commend Campbell, Ohio. Campbell is a suburb of Youngstown, Ohio, and they may be a broke city, but they had their streets nice and clean, and I just want to say thank you. What? I'm serious. I drove through there. Their side streets were clean. I had to almost get out my truck and shovel in front of me to get through the Youngstown city streets.
Youngstown don't take care of the streets so good, huh?
Yeah. Not in the wintertime. It takes them a long time to get to where they're going. Long time. What else is going on? What else is happening? I talked about Mark Halpern, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute.
Well, you know.
Six, you're going to be here, but you better find something to talk about.
Well,
you know, 2.5 hours is a long time.
Well, I'm hoping I can talk the trooper in the stand, but the way it's looking outside, he's probably just going to come in here, do his thing, and leave, because he's probably busy.
So what are you going to talk about? Six is going to be home alone. What are you going to talk about? Do you know what it's like to be home alone?
Oh, it's hard.
Being home alone is tough.
Well, I'm going to try to keep it nonpartisan and uplifting.
Oh, okay.
But if we get some callers that want to mix it up, we can do that too.
626, your mic is on.
Oh, hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm just listening right now. I'm at work.
Well, listen, we thank you for listening in, and you can listen as long as you like, but make sure Six doesn't get stuck, because I'm leaving him.
Uh-oh. Oh, are you?
I'm leaving him. Absolutely. I'm leaving him home alone.
Well, you know what, don't worry, because I'm pretty sure Alabama will be calling in, so.
And he'll have something to say.
Yeah. And you know what, I was glad to hear Michigan man yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, that's my man right there.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah, I was wondering whatever happened to him.
I think they get mad at me and they run away for a while. I'm glad to have Stanley back. I miss Stanley.
But you know what? I have been hearing Stanley on other shows because he likes to talk about relationships and, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, but he had been gone for a while too. So
yeah, he's been gone.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you called in to say hi to us.
Yeah. I know we get off work early today, so I cannot wait.
How early do you get off? Noon?
I get off at 2.
Okay, that's not
California
too bad.
California time. Yeah, not bad.
That's not too bad. I thank you for hanging out with us. I certainly do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. I'm pretty mellow today. I wasn't that mellow yesterday, but.
That's all right.
we got people. We got people stranded in airports. We got people running in ditches on the road.
Do you guys have snow?
Oh yeah. Oh yes, we have snow. We don't have anything else.
Oh no. Well, I won't tell you the weather here.
Please don't.
I know. I didn't even tell you. Oh, you don't want to know because I think it's cold out here.
Is it raining?
Let's see. No, actually, it's a sunny day. I can't see from where I'm at now, but it'll probably be maybe about 70 degrees today.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can't complain.
Right,
so.
No, you can't complain about anything right now. No.
27 degrees and we got 18 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's been snowing for 2 days.
Oh, man.
I have a little traveling to do.
No, she said we don't have the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, well.
If we had the traffic that L.A. has and the snow that we have.
It'd be like New York City.
It would be worse than New York City. We would have to camp. And just carry your camper in your car and just camp on the freeway.
Might as well.
You got to see what happens out in on the West Coast, especially in Los Angeles, when it rains.
Oh, yeah.
When it rains out there, it's horrific. You would think that there was 20 inches of snow on the freeway.
You would think so, and then on the news, they always say storm watch. And I'm like, what storm?
See, that's a big difference.
Yeah, they over-exaggerate.
Yeah.
Where I live, a traffic jam's 2 tractors and a pickup truck.
Oh, man, you're lucky.
Well, I took our daughter was in Sea Cadets when our daughter was small, when we took her out to Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland, and I sat in that traffic out there. It's no wonder you people shoot each other.
What?
If I had to sit in traffic like that, I'd be shooting somebody too.
Say that out loud.
I
fully understand it.
You can't tell people.
People have got to sit in traffic like that every day. It's no reason they're shooting each other.
It's getting worse because you know how usually people used to work from 9 to 5, you know, but now everybody has different schedules, so now it's always traffic.
Well, you know, when I lived out there, I never got on the freeway when it was busy. I would never do that. For me to go from anywhere in the Los Angeles County area, if there's a road, and it may take about 15 minutes longer because you take the surface streets, mm-hmm. but I'm not sitting on the freeway in the hot sun with the car going nowhere.
Yeah,
people read books on the freeway.
Bad. Oh, yeah. And what makes it so bad is because you have a lot of people, because the rent and houses are so expensive, they live way out, but they have to come back to the metropolitan area to work. So some people have 2 hours commute one way.
See, I'm not doing that. That would be crazy.
Yeah. So now California, I guess I'm just here because it doesn't snow where I live at. I think that's the only reason why I'm still here. But other than that, I have no idea why.
Now, you're in Pasadena, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
That's not bad. That's the 101, but L.A. City, L.A. proper, the 5405,
yeah.
The 101,
yeah, so,
that's some crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, and any time I need to go, you know, to downtown or whatever, see, I can just exit into Chinatown, you know, if the freeway's backed up. So, no, I don't have a problem. So, yeah, so no problem at all. So I really can't complain. And right now I'm, you know, working a few minutes from home. So.
Oh, that's a blessing.
Let me tell you, in California it is.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I look forward to hearing from you. With open mic, we're going to have a Ohio State Patrolman, and that's our law enforcement from the state. They're going to be with us, at the bottom of the hour. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from them. They're going to talk about safety on the streets, and we need to listen in. Because if you don't listen in, you know, you need to know how to drive in the snow, and you never know it all.
Oh, you need to know what to do when you have an accident.
Yeah. I mean, but you need to know how not to have an accident. You know, sometimes we're good drivers, but we're very careless. And so we need to just stop and take a moment about driving and driving safety, because the last thing you want to do is either not get to your destination in one piece or help somebody else not get to theirs. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM.
Everyone faces challenges.
So would you honor him, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum, when we come?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand. The paint leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular walk. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Stables Barbecue Sauce, that's grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stables Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stables Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stables Barbecue Sauce. The full couple of
Charlie Stables Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Roads in the valley are snow-covered and slippery, and there's been some minor accidents, plus power outages. A winter storm yesterday hit the area. PennDOT has been out treating the roads, but in some areas, the snow was heavy, creating a wet flush on roadways. Boardman Township had the most power outages late last night, with 155 customers in the dark. Some forecasters are saying this storm will likely be the biggest November has seen in Youngstown since 1971. A Warren man was just given two life sentences for killing his parents. A judge decided 33-year-old Lewis Mann will have no possibility of of parole. The man was convicted of murdering his parents at their home. His father was beaten and shot in the head, and his mother strangled with a clothesline. And on a much brighter note, the city of Youngstown is celebrating the holiday. The official Christmas tree has arrived downtown. It's nearly 40 feet tall and was donated by a resident on North Hazelwood Avenue. The city parks department will now decorate the tree. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
What does the Black Friday sale mean at Taylor Kia? Big savings that start now and end Monday. Buy a new Kia and get a mini tablet. Get 0% financing on a 2014 Kia Sorento. For credit? No problem. We'll help get you financed. Here's the best part. Come in now and you're guaranteed at least $4,000 for your trade, no matter what you owe. 0% financing, a minimum of $4,000 for your trade, and a mini tablet with the purchase of any new Kia. Perfect for on-the-go entertainment and web browsing. Plus, every Kia is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Get Black Friday savings now through Monday, including a mini tablet. Get to Taylor Kia, the better way to do Black Friday. Hurry, sale ends Monday, December 2nd. Mini tablet, 16-gigabyte, $399 retail value with purchase or lease of any new Kia. 4,000 trade allowance, eligible on purchase of new 2014 Sorento. Excludes lease, 0% APR, up to 60 months on 2014 Kia Sorento. With approved credit plus tax, title, license, and fees. Offers end December 2nd, 2013. See dealer for complete details.
James E. Winter Jr. Arts and Culture Center welcomes you to the Theater on Three in downtown Sharon. Mark your calendars for December 6th through 8th as Midlife, the Crisis Musical, takes to the stage. This must-see musical strikes a chord with anyone regardless of age, poking fun at the frustrations of mammograms, love handles, and proctology exams. Midlife is an hilarious romp with an honest humor about the trials and tribulations of the unavoidable aging process. Warning, this show is guaranteed to cause laugh lines. Don't miss Midlife, the Crisis Musical, performing December 6th and 7th with curtain at 8 p.m. and Sunday, December 8th at 2 p.m. Zone 1 and 2 tickets include a buffet-style meal prepared by the Corinthian. For reservations, call 724-983-8222. That's 724-983-8222. For more info, visit accsharon.com. Sponsored by Cumulus Radio and Quaker Steak and Lube.
Ivy Woods Manor offers rehabilitation for people with congestive heart failure. They use state-of-the-art equipment to provide muscle-building exercise without putting stress on your heart. This will help you recover faster and get you back home as soon as possible. They will assist you with home care services and continue to follow your progress to help you remain in your home safely. To learn more about Ivy Woods Manor, visit us at ivywoodsmanor.com or call 330-549-3939.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic, and we've got a trooper coming in at the bottom of the hour. So until he comes in, we're just going to talk. But I have a question for you, Sticks, and Paula's in the studio with us. And Paula is the wife of Ben. Not Ben, of Sticks.
Wait a minute.
I just gave her away. Sorry. It's not personal. Let me ask you a question. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and usually Thanksgiving, all stores used to be closed until maybe 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and now a lot of stores are opening up on those days. What are your thoughts on it?
As a libertarian, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I would hope that people would just stay home. I'm sorry. As a libertarian, I don't have a problem with it. You know, if you want to open your store, open your store. But the thing is, if people would just stay home.
Hold on. Did you say as a libertarian? I'm talking about just as a person.
Okay, as a person, I don't see anything wrong with it. But I would hope people would stay home so it wouldn't be profitable. Because if it wasn't profitable, the stores wouldn't be
open. I can't believe you answered the question as a libertarian. What?
I wouldn't open my store on
as a Republican, I think we ought to have capitalism. I'm a capitalist, so I think
but you're a big R Republican. See, I'm a small L libertarian. There's a difference.
I can't believe you answered that question in saying,
okay,
as a libertarian, I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Well, that's the way I think. I'm sorry. I just want it. It's like the X-rated bookstores. Okay. I don't like them there.
So why don't you think they're okay next to a school?
Depends how much advertising they do, I guess. If they're in a nondescript building, I don't have a problem.
No, I'm talking about it's a freak. It's, as a libertarian, they have the right to put whatever they want on the front. Libertarian?
No, you're mixing.
I ain't mixing jack.
Libertarians are not anarchists.
You're not mixing up
libertarian and anarchist.
I'm not mixing nothing.
Alex, if you're out there, I really can
no,
use a hand on this.
I'm not mixing nothing in this.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. You said as a libertarian, they ought to be able to do what they want to do. So I'm asking you, as a libertarian, can I open up an adult store right next door to a school, elementary and junior high and high school? Just put it right there. Have a little advertisement on the side, you know. Learn how to get your freak on here. As a libertarian, I have the right to do so.
Yes, you do.
So you're okay with that?
No, not
what?
Entirely. Well,
come on.
Because the thing about libertarianism, to boil it down, your right to swing stops at my nose.
Right.
You've got a right to open your business, but you don't have a right to advertise to my child because that invades.
I'm not advertising to your child.
You are.
No, I'm not.
If you put a sign up that says get your freak on here, that's advertising to my child.
I'm not advertising to your child.
Yes,
what?
You are.
No, I'm not. I'm advertising to whoever drives by.
And you
can't help that. It's a free country, libertarian.
But the thing is, your location makes it advertising to children.
I was there first.
You probably weren't.
So it's my business. I'm a libertarian.
If you were there first, then you got a right to stay. Absolutely. But if you show up after school is already there,
what's wrong with that?
Then you have to conform to community standards.
I don't have to conform to that. Libertarian community
because your rights. No, because in that case you would be walking on somebody else's rights.
Community rights tell me that it's okay. Community rights say Thanksgiving ought to be closed. It's the day we shut down the country.
Then everybody stay home.
Nope, can't stay home because you opened the store. And you're gonna give
somebody,
me
a, now wait a minute. Somebody's coming to your house and they're handcuffing you.
Yep.
And they're gonna drag you out to the store.
Because they're gonna give me that 50-inch TV for $299 instead of $500. That's $300 in the bank. Absolutely.
But you ain't gonna get there in time to get it anyways.
Oh, I'm gonna stand up.
No. There's only three there.
There might be only three there, but that's what I'm saying. And I'm gonna be in line for the three TVs, which means nobody eats and I'm not going to dinner to spend time with my family. Because I'm a libertarian and it's okay.
But I'm a libertarian, and I'm staying home because I don't care if they're giving TVs away. I ain't going to go out and get in that mess.
So it's okay for me to actually put a XXX adult store next to a school?
No, it's not.
It is.
You're like we got in there. Who was there first?
Okay, even if I came next to it.
Who was there first?
The rent was
you're
free.
In school.
School was there first.
Then there you go. Then you have to conform to community standards.
No, I don't. It's a free country. Libertarians, people do what they want to
do. You're confusing libertarian and anarchist.
No, I'm not.
Libertarians are not anarchists.
You're not listening.
See, no, because I said your right to swing stops at my nose. Your right to put junk cars in your yard
is my right.
Stops when it becomes a health hazard for me.
It's not a health hazard for you. If I want to have rats in my yard, it's my business. Hi, Alex.
But you're right.
hey, Tracy. Hey, Sticks.
Hey, Alex.
I was listening to y'all on iHeart. I agree with Sticks on this. And I think you are conflating things when it comes to libertarianism. You know, the idea is that government is – the only thing government does is restrict people. It only takes people's liberty. But that doesn't mean that we – you know, you don't need any government. You definitely don't want government – dictating from the federal level, but and things are handled at the local level. If that community doesn't want, that triple X store or whatever next to a school, then you know it shouldn't be there. As long as it's within the laws of that community.
So what you're saying is, going back to this original comment, it was about Thanksgiving and opening up your stores. If that's the case, Hobby Lobby, if we're going to have a discussion, Hobby Lobby ought to be able to not buy birth control.
Right.
Community standard says I should be able to get it what I want.
No. Because, no, you see there, you're conflagrating things again.
Now I was confused and now I'm conflagrating.
That's right.
What?
Because you are demanding, you cannot have a right that requires an action of another person.
Yes, I can.
You're demanding. Exactly. You're demanding Hobby Lobby give you something.
I'm not demanding Hobby Lobby give me something.
Yes, you are.
I pay for it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I pay into my health care. It ain't no free ride.
Do they pay part of it too?
Yes, they do.
Well, then you can go out and buy your own birth control someplace else.
No,
because they're not going to have that as part of their company sponsored plan. And that's their right to do so as the company sponsor.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. When you look at my health care plan, I pay a portion out of every month. So what I pay with my portion of my health care is my business. As a libertarian, it's okay to be open on Thanksgiving?
No, you're asking Hobby Lobby to do something against their religion.
It's not their religion.
See, personally, my answer to all this
corporations
is...
Corporations don't have religion.
Personally, if they're privately held corporations, they can and do.
They don't have religion. Yes, Alex.
Everyone has the right to do whatever they want to do, so long as they do not infringe on the rights of others or break any laws, of course. And if Hobby Lobby wants, it doesn't matter what reason it is, if it's religious or if they, or what, it does not matter. If that's what they want to do, if they want to open up the store or not open up a store, it's their right. We talk about America and how great it is, but we only talk about freedoms when the people exercise the freedoms that we like, and it's hypocritical. We have to be able to support people's freedom even when we disagree with it.
I am supporting the freedom. I have the right to do what I need to do, go where I need to go, and become what I need to become, and you're trying to infringe upon that because I'm saying that we ought to shut Thanksgiving down.
Well, you have the right to advocate for that, but you don't have the right to infringe on other people's right to exercise, economic activity if they so choose.
Right. That's why I can put a school. I can put a triple X store next to a school.
You can if the laws governing that local community allows it. Yeah, you can.
Okay, just checking. I can. Who
right.
cares? Hey, Alabama, what's going on, Doc?
What's up? I honestly, I'm just listening to you guys' conversation. If you pay for insurance at a corporation, you can't force that corporation to include something. You can only pick from what they offer you. It's like saying, I pay for 401k, but I want you guys to invest in my friend's business. And if you don't, no, I don't. We don't do that. We don't invest in people's business. We'll give you a 401k. We'll let you put it in if you want to do real estate, EFTs, or ETFs, however they say. But you can't just force someone to give you a certain type of something. Like as long as they're meeting the criteria, you can't force them. And that's the problem I have now because the country voted Barack in. if Hobby Lobby is probably going to lose because people went out and voted this activist guy in who's going to put all these activist judges in there. They're going to force people to do things. But they always say elections have consequences. I didn't like Romney, but I see the reason why, because maybe he would have put a moderate in. We know what we're going to get with Hobby. They're going to lose, and we're probably going to lose our Second Amendment rights if the right person, one of those people on the Supreme Court, dies. So a lot of stuff that putting this guy in office is going to cost us in the next couple of years.
You're absolutely right. If we lose a Supreme Court justice, we're done.
Done how? Don't mean you're done.
Because
Barack is an idealist. He believes in certain, he has a certain viewpoint, a code that he's going to stick to come hell or high water. Unlike Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was wavery. But I would have rather at least put Mitt Romney in because maybe he would have done something that was somewhat constitutional. This guy is going to give all the Hispanics free whatever. He's looking to get rid of guns. The same thing that people say, well, I'm going to stay out of this election because I feel like I'm an idealist. True enough, I didn't like the guy, but once you got one or two choices, at this point, this was not the time to sit out. We should have had 90% participation in this election. Now that he's in there, we're going to suffer. We're going to lose rights, starting with this Obamacare. And it's probably, if one of those chief justices dies, and another problem we have is if he places a young person in there, and this was, I think it was when Ron Paul was up there on Jim Stossel's show or somebody, they're like, if he places another person in there that's 30 years old, 38 years old, 40 years old, and we got a young, energetic, radical. Even though you had liberals on there now, they're different types of liberals. They're older than in there in their 90s. You put a guy that's in his 40s in there, you're ensuring for the next, 30, 40 years, we're going to have to deal with liberal interpretations.
I understand. But did you hear the original conversation in Alabama? The question was about Thanksgiving. And I asked Fix and Paula, who's in the studio with us, and the number is 347-945-5229. I asked about Thanksgiving. There are a lot of stores that are open today, and, if you work there, you have to go to work if you're on schedule. And, I was asking, he says, as a libertarian, I think they ought to, and I said, well, if that's the case, then I ought to be able to put my school, if I ought to be able to put a XXX adult store next to a school.
I mean, they've been doing that for years. They give people time and a half for working on 4th of July.
But 4th of July is not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has been a tradition forever. It's been a day of family and thanks.
I've seen fist fights over people getting to work Thanksgiving.
Getting to work?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Where factories I worked at, because it paid double time and a half, triple time.
I ain't never seen that.
Oh, yeah. The mine our daughter works at, all the blue-collar people get triple time for Thanksgiving.
But these guys are not getting triple time. This ain't no triple time. This job.
My sister's a nurse, and she's getting paid two and a half times today. She's working today.
Yeah, but these guys are not getting triple time. They're not getting triple time.
You still get holiday. You still get at least time and a half.
No, they don't.
Yeah, but that's retail.
Retail. Right. But Thanksgiving was a day that you always had off. Now you've got some of them are going to be open.
Walmart never closed on Thanksgiving.
But Walmart never closed, but now you have Walmart, Target. Where did I just leave? Gabriel's, a lot of the stores, Macy's, a lot of them where you go in there, now they're just open.
They're not selling as much stuff either.
Yes, that's the thing. You want to stop this, just stay home.
I got to go to work.
That's all the answer. No, the employees should show up.
But what I'm saying is, as
consumers.
But they're not going to stay home because I'm going to save some money and I'm going to go.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not, because guess what? Somebody else, a different store's got the same deal on the day after.
Listen here. Those TVs
if you can get a
$90,
you can get a 32-inch TV for $30, $40 at Walmart at 6 in the morning. It's going to be some people there.
Last year, we were in South Carolina visiting my parents, and we parked our camper in the Walmart parking lot. We seen people going in and out nonstop until 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, and people will leave their families.
So what's this say about the society?
That's what I'm saying.
Greed.
And so
that's another form of greed.
So here we go, Mr. Libertarian.
I don't think that's greed.
As a libertarian,
I
think
greed.
It's okay.
That's just people wanting a good deal. That's just they don't want
that's
to pay
all.
$300, $400 for a TV when they can get it for $60. That's just people being economical.
You know, Tracy, yeah. the problem here is, I mean, you know, it's obviously the values of the people, but you're not going to solve it the way that you're proposing. You can't solve most of the problems, about 99% of the problems that our government tries to solve. It's impossible for them to do so because the only way the government can do it is with force. And you cannot solve these problems with force. It never has worked and it never will. The only way it's going to change is if the values of the people change, and the government cannot do that. It has to come from the volition and from the conviction of the people. Through your own activist activities, but if it comes from the government, it's not going to happen.
I'm willing to bet you a big part of the reason that stores weren't open in the 50s, unless there were blue laws on Thanksgiving, was that because the store owners knew people just ain't going to show up to shop on Thanksgiving. I bet you there's a large part of that. It had nothing to do with altruism and everything to do with why am I going to open my doors and pay people to be here when nobody's going to show up because everybody's at grandma's house eating turkey.
But now we're going to show up and so we're going to open.
That's because people are demanding they be open. If nobody demanded it, the service wouldn't be there.
But they're demanding it because based upon saving.
Do you know how many people go out shopping on Thanksgiving and they can't wait to get back home to eat a good dinner, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, and you know these are the shifting values of America, you know. So they like to shop on Thanksgiving, then go eat, and a lot of times they house hop, go eat at maybe two or three different houses, and then afterwards go out to the movies or maybe shop some more on Thanksgiving. That is, I mean, there's millions of people that do that, and so that's just. That's just the culture of America today.
It may be the culture. I just don't think it's a good thing. And every year we push the envelope a little bit more until we become like Sundays. I mean, seriously, the way things are going right now, Thanksgiving's going to be like another Sunday. The only thing that'll be closed are car dealerships.
My sister-in-law works at Walmart, and I asked my brother. She gets holiday pay, plus she gets extra for working, and if she goes over 40 hours, she gets time and a half.
Now, if I was a police officer, I definitely want to work on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Triple
time? Oh, they get unbelievable pay, and it depends upon their ranking. You know, we can have Thanksgiving next week. But I'm just saying,
not to really change that, Tracy. But there are police officers and firemen retiring after 20 years in certain municipalities, millionaires.
We're doing that here. It's called the drop program.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, these people they're walking out with $1 million, plus they're getting 85-90% of their salary to death. I mean, it's just
ridiculous. I mean, these people, government. I agree with Alex. I think government. It's probably the biggest problem America faces now, more so than terrorism. Terrorism is way down on the list in my book. It's about government, and I really think government reflects the people. And
if you want to get into that, now you're talking about entitlement, the entitlement mentality. I think that kills us more than anything. Politicians are just greedy. A lot of politicians are greedy, just like they think. A lot of people like to say businesses are greedy. Politicians are even more greedy because they don't have no checks and balances. Nobody's telling them they're wrong. You know, you got a business, and word gets out you're greedy, you got to do something to fix it. Politicians, you control everything. Nobody's checking the politicians on their greed. As soon as the Tea Party came along, they were called racist. So
that's true.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, yourself?
I'm doing well. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347.
Leave mic open.
5-5-6-9. Okay.
Alex, you there?
Yeah. How you doing, man?
Yeah, we not going to Tampa, man. We're going to go straight to Orlando, man. We ain't going to even do Tampa.
Oh, okay. Who's with you?
It's just me and my ex. He's bringing me, but I was going to go to what?
Nothing, man.
I mean, you know, hey, I used to – that's my ex, man. You know, I took care of her on her birthday, so I guess she showing me some love. So.
Yeah, apparently. Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice, man.
I'm going to tell you now, we sit and talk about politics, she's going to be sitting there looking crazy. Like, if we get to a political conversation, she's going to roll her eyes. Oh, Lord, here we go. So, that's her.
Yeah, yes, that's expected, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend that owns that shop, and he's saying the Koreans are trying to run him out of business. And they, he told me how he was trying to buy some stuff, and they just outright told him, we ain't going to sell the niggas. Told him just like that. So... him and his mom, now he's saying they're struggling to stay in business now. And I just think it's just sad, man. I mean, he said he talked to a lot of the black women that come in, and they don't care. They can care less about who they buy to spend their money with. He's just telling me how they're like 75% of the consumption in the black community is done through women. So it's interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it, man. That's wow. I don't know. It seems like that's the one of the biggest things. It may sound controversial, but one of the biggest battles that we have, one of the biggest hurdles we have is our women.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like I was listening to Nia Long, and she said she wanted to interject a white character into the film, talking about this is a new day, you know, and it just shows a lot of the mentality of a lot of it. And I know it sounds bad because it's like, well, you came from a black woman. Yeah, okay, fine, but that doesn't mean you can't point out wrongs and ills, and a lot of them that are facilitated through our women. Whether, I mean, I hate to say that, but just about 80% of these problems can be traced back to women, either being in the leadership position when they should be, you know, or the where they spend their dollars. Just those two issues right there alone are killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's.
I guarantee
it's,
you, when I come
crazy.
Down there this weekend, I guarantee you most of the stores are like Urban Clothing. All of the female outfits, you know, the little mom and pops, they're going to be Korean owned.
Oh, yeah.
In those malls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. I could tell you the stores here that, for all the beauty supply stuff is pretty much Asian. Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about clothing. I'm talking about clothing and guess what? Let me tell you something I found out real interesting about that. He said that the government back in the 60s set it up where Koreans were had a monopoly on the wig business. The United States government did it.
I know. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, he did. I mean, it's just one of those examples where if we went through, you know, I just part of me think that they put something in Johnny Carkin's food or something, because you know when he started that kind of a coalition to sue the U.S. government for reparations, you know, because if you actually comb through all the different sectors of this country, you will uncover some unbelievable things about how, you know, the government has, you know, purposely, you know, disenfranchised us at all levels, local, state, and federal level. And, you know, just, it's just incalculable. I mean, absolutely incalculable what would have to be repaid. And so, you know, it's amazing. But yeah, that I uncovered what that fact and about the, you know, the wig business, and it's just amazing. You know,
there was this documentary I watched. He was telling me about. I watched it last night, where the guy, there's a black owned place that sells curlers out in L.A. They're the largest black owned distributor, and the owner, they sat down with the owners, and they were just saying, look, you know, they're telling us that our products are no longer in demand. They're emulate, they're fakely, they're remanufacturing whatever we make. They emulate it, and then they try to cut our prices out. They're doing, you know, which I think that there's a level of competition, but to a certain extent, it's like, you know, a lot of the black owners, black people don't care. They do not care. They just, all I want is hair. Like, you talk to these women, I just want hair. If I can get it for a dollar less, I'm going to go to the Koreans. That's how they think.
Well, I mean, I have a, you know, I have two problems with this whole thing. One, okay, yeah, we need to have our own, sustain our own beauty supply, you know, our own cosmetics. There's an aspect of that. But the other aspect of it is that the aesthetic, the actual standard of beauty that's being upheld is not our own. So it comes a point where it doesn't matter what we do, we're always going to be paying somebody else, you know, because most of the hair comes from, you know, India, Brazil, other places. So we're always going to be giving away that money. Now, we can probably manufacture some of the goods, you know, for like styling products and things. But the only thing that's going to happen is if Koreans and other people, if they're not getting their cut, all they're going to do is just jack up the prices for the
hair. I got something I want to talk to you about because I got a friend of mine who knows how to manufacture those products. Most of them. And he has a chemical engineering degree. We were talking about doing something similar to Amway, but dealing with hair products for black women. And this would be great as far as a driving force for people saying, look, at least you got your own money. You're creating the dollar's coming back to you instead of...
I have a concealed carry license, and you had that incident over in Canton a few years ago. Did you see that, where the local officer went off on that guy?
Yes.
And the last time I got stopped by a state highway patrolman, he walked up. I see you have a concealed carry license. I mean, it was all professional. He knew exactly where everything was done perfectly. I mean, it's just amazing the professionalism of these guys.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that. And we instill in our guys, we do reviews, internal reviews, just to make sure that we are trying to stay on top of our game and our people are treating people fair. You know, that's what we get paid to do, to enforce the laws, assist the motoring public. But we also treat people fair. And I know that I preach to my guys and girls that work for me, treat people the way you want to be treated. Whether you're getting a ticket, whether you're giving someone a warning, just treat people the way you would want to be treated or the way you would want your significant other to be treated.
Now, when you pull somebody over for a routine violation, they pretty much know they got it coming, right? I mean,
I just hand them my stuff and say, here, give me my ticket and let me go. Or ask them, where were you?
To be honest with you, if you look at our statistics, specifically talking about the Highway Patrol, I think the average trooper maybe writes 3 tickets a day. We write a lot of warnings also. Believe it or not, people think when they get
stopped. Excuse me?
When they think they're going to get stopped by the Highway Patrol, we do issue warnings. We do issue defect notifications.
Yeah, right.
I got a warning.
When?
The last time I got stopped, I bought an Illinois car. And it didn't have a front license plate bracket on it, and I got a warning for it. You know, they could have just as easily given me a fine.
They'll never warn
Tracy, me. Tracy, I'm sorry, the rest of us don't know.
Well, how fast have you been going?
No, not me. I never go fast.
108 to 55.
Oh no, I never break 90. Never. I'm too chicken to go that fast. 85 is the max. I don't play around. I like life. You have to maintain control of the car, no matter what. Even on a dry road, you just don't go crazy. People that go past 85 are just psycho.
You haven't been on a beltway in D.C. lately, have you?
Yeah, but I'm not doing that. And I like fast cars. No. Because it's too easy. I mean, I've done enough dumb and crazy in my life that, that's not smart. Am I wrong?
You got to drive within your capabilities. Drive the speed limit and drive within your capabilities.
But you should not be foolish.
You're exactly right. Don't take chances. Don't take unnecessary risk.
And I see some cars blow by me, and they have to be doing 90. That's crazy. You can't control that.
Yeah, and it goes the other way around, too. I mean, I've been on going 40 and speed limit's 65, and you got no business doing 65.
Right. You know, you have to look at, number one, your driving skills, abilities, and habits. You got to look at your vehicle, too. Is your vehicle in proper working order? The road conditions, all those take you got to take in the fact in the consideration when you're operating a vehicle. And I may be out there driving in my vehicle. Maybe I can go 60 miles an hour due to the road conditions, and maybe you feel comfortable for your vehicle only driving 40 miles per hour due to the circumstances out there. I need
you
to
need
consider
to be on
that
surface
also.
Streets. If you can't go 40 and you feel uncomfortable in your vehicle, that's why they make surface streets. Because slow people can kill you just as well as fast people.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the weather today, yesterday, today.
Yes.
For some reason, I have an SUV,
okay,
and we think we're invincible.
Mm-hmm.
I found that that's not true.
It's not true. You know, you still have to stop. You know, you still have other traffic out there. And we find that people with SUVs, four-wheel drive vehicles, those ones that are blowing by us in the passing lane, you know, we wind up seeing them crashed in the ditch somewhere down the road. Because sometimes they're going to have to stop. They can still spin out. They can still lose control. And they're driving too fast for the conditions.
I mean, if the speed limit is 70, and a lot of us are traveling today, what is a safe speed limit for me to go during the snow conditions that we had on yesterday? I mean, because some people, they say, well, it's 70 miles per hour. That's what I can go. And that just because it says it doesn't mean you should go it.
That's correct. And you could just because the speed limit says 70, there's a section of law that you could get cited for driving unreasonable for conditions. So if the speed limit is 70 and you can only safely operate your vehicle during those conditions at 55 miles per hour, that's how fast you should be going. We see that all the time. Someone says, oh, well, the speed limit was 70. I was going 70, and they crashed. And what I usually tell them my destination, where I came from and where I got to that crash and how fast I drove there. In those conditions yesterday, my top speed in my patrol car might be 25 or 35 miles per hour because that's how I could safely get to your crash to investigate it. I didn't go any faster than that because I would have crashed.
That makes sense to me.
You just can't. I mean, physics works for everybody. It doesn't matter what you're driving.
Speaking of which, I got stopped not too long ago. It's been a little while. You guys have a lot going on in that car.
We do.
They don't let me do that much in my car. I'm confused. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. I mean, the little trooper he had computers and bells and whistles. He was looking up data. He was phoning stuff in. He had a little radio going on. Y'all not supposed to be doing that much stuff in the car. That's unsafe.
Yeah, we are exempt from certain. We're exempt in the Ohio Revised Code from certain things, and there is a lot going on in those cars, and we tell our people just to make sure that we're as safe as we can about doing it. You know, hopefully we're pulling over to the side of the road or we're on a traffic stop. We give a lot of information to our dispatchers that relay it back to us, but there is a lot of things going on in
those
cars.
There's a lot going on, and you guys don't let me do that.
There's a lot of things going on in that car.
I'm a good driver. I should be able to do some of that stuff. I get the work done, talk on the phone, get to do a couple text.
Tracy.
Yes, what, Alabama, what?
I've been trying to get your attention. I really, is this, who's your guest? Because we were all muted when you had him. We
no, I'm sorry. He is a Ohio State Patrolman. He is our state police. Is that what, yeah, you're state, our state
we're,
police?
We're state.
Well,
police.
The reason it sounds interesting because he just said operating a vehicle, and I did a little research on operate and how it came from trucking. They were using that, and now that's why everybody has licenses. Like if you trace the history of it, we used to didn't have to have them. I just wanted his opinion on that.
His opinion on what? Having to have a license?
Yeah,
right?
Like we used to, like the way it used to be, you didn't, yeah, back years before we had all these regulations and stuff, like that, you know, it wasn't like that, like it is now. Like I really think it's a form of revenue generation to me, but I think it's, they've kind of made it, they started off, okay, well, you need this for trucking, and now everybody has to have one. And they use the word operate. That's why when you talk, you are operating a vehicle. Well, have even heard of that. It's called, they talk about right to travel. Just want to get his opinion on it.
Why don't you say, as a libertarian, you don't feel as though we ought to have those kinds of conditions either?
I'm not a libertarian. I'm conservative. I'm just conservative. You
okay.
Know, I have libertarian leanings, but.
So I think it is necessary for us to have some licensing restrictions. I don't think that it's just it's a form of revenue making. You know, we see crashes because people do not have the license. They don't know what the traffic control signals mean, the traffic control devices. They shouldn't be driving. We see it a lot of times in motorcycles also, where someone goes out, they have not gone through the licensing process, and that licensing process would have eliminated them from being out there on the road and hurting someone because they were not fit or safe to operate whatever type of vehicle they were operating.
I don't
want to burst your bubble, Alabama, but we've had driver's licenses in the United States since 1903. Automobile driver's license.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say we didn't have them. I'm saying how they came through and what they were used for, how they used the word operate. And what I was saying, when he said it's not a form of generation, revenue generation, you got people in certain municipalities
to make
that catch you going down
what.
A hill.
Yeah,
because I think it's wrong, to be honest with you. It's what he does, so he's going to disagree with
hold
me.
Hold on.
But, of course, I'm just saying.
Trooper Hendricks, give me your first name again.
Nakia.
Because I got a text message, they want to know your name. Trooper Nakia Hendricks, he is the post commander at the Canfield Post, which is out on 46. And Sticks went out there the other day, and I said, let's do a show on safety and driving. Didn't realize the weather was going to be like it is, and they said, can we get somebody on here to talk about, traveling? Because everybody's traveling. If we're flying out, we've got to travel out. And car safety is very, very important during the winter months and summer months. But when the icy conditions you need to be careful because there's nothing worse than seeing a crash. It's a devastating look, and I know in your years of experience you've seen a lot.
We see it every day. I see it every day. People just need to, they need to obey the rules of the road. Some simple things that they can do to protect themselves. One of the simplest things they can do is wear their seatbelts. It definitely saves lives. It can reduce injury crashes, and it takes 2 seconds to put it on. And I think everyone's life is worth more than 2 seconds. So. Wear your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive. Don't drive distracted.
Talk about that for a minute. Hold on. Talk about 727. Hold on, just a second. Talk about drinking and driving and being impaired as you drive.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think that we can handle it.
I like how you got me smooth. Shut me down, Tracy. That's cool.
There's a per se legal limit when you talk about OVI enforcement or operating a vehicle while under the influence. It's a 0.08 for an adult in the state of Ohio. But, you know, that's a misconception because when people think, oh, I test under a 0.08, I cannot be charged with drinking and driving. You can. So alcohol affects people differently. Just because you don't test over the per se legal limit, 0.08, does not mean that you cannot be charged with operating a motor vehicle under the influence. So.
But in all reality, how many people that are right at that 0.08 actually get pulled over? I mean, usually if you're bobbing and weaving, you're out of control, right?
We do pull over a number that are right around 0.08. We pull over a significant number, and a lot of those people do get charged with OVI. Alcohol affects people differently. You know, it may affect you and me and her a little bit differently. So, you know, you may test an 0.04 and you may not be able to stand, mm-hmm. walk, talk, safely operate your vehicle. She may test an 0.07 and she may be doing her sobriety test a little bit better than you and operating her vehicle. But the best advice that I could give is just if you are going to operate a vehicle, have no alcohol in your system whatsoever. Okay. Designate a sober driver.
And it's okay to have.
Operating.
I mean, that's okay for people to actually go out and say, you know, I need a, you know, a designated driver. It just makes sense. You know, there are people that just don't drink. So go pull them in and say, listen, come with me, hang out. I'm going to get drunk and won't. I need you to drive me home. You're going to drink coffee anyhow.
That's the truth. You know, there are so many people out there making the right decisions. There are, and you know, I commend those people. There's a small few that are making bad decisions. And usually when they make those decisions, they're devastated.
Now you've been around.
Hold
before.
On, Six. Okay. 727, your mic is on.
Yes, thank you, Tracy. I want to ask the officer this question. I'm an over-road driver, and I know one of my pet peeves is when you're on the highway, people who linger in the left-hand lane. Is there any rule against that? And, you know, generally I just pass them on the right cautiously. But I don't know why that is, but you have people that just, they'll do 55 in that left-hand lane, and they just upset the traffic pattern.
Right. We would recommend to those people to move over to the right-hand lane, you know, leave that left hand for passing, and also if some type of emergency vehicle is coming by. There could be a violation of law. It depends on the circumstances. You know, there is a impeding the flow of traffic law. But, again, if that person is driving the speed limit, if the speed limit's 55 and they're in the left-hand lane and they're driving 55, there's, you know, they're not going to be stopped or ticketed. But if they're driving way under the speed limit and traffic is backing up, there could be a violation of impeding the flow of traffic.
Leave me alone.
Okay.
I like the left-hand lane. It's easier for me to drive in that lane. The right-hand, I don't understand the weaving in and out of traffic because you go.
You're the one that gets out there in that left-hand lane, sits there with your blinker on for like 25
miles. No, I was trying to get you to move over. You were following me, and I was trying to get you to move over because I didn't want you to get lost.
But you know, if I say something else, one of the things I've noticed, though, is the majority of those who are in the left-hand lane are female.
I'm not going to make a comment on that, sir. I would just say that people need to share the road safely and, respect each other. Respect each other out there while they're driving and, just do the best that they can to so we're not causing crashes or any type of road rage incident.
Hey, 727,
I also got a question about DUI.
Hold on,
Alabama. I got another question.
Hold on. 727, I got to go back to you. Did you notice how politically correct he answered that question?
He was very politically correct.
He was just so great. He's like, I'm not answering that question. I'm just going to say.
Well, I've been driving for quite a few years, so, you know, you notice stuff real quick. And like I said, I don't know what it is, but some people just like that left-hand lane. And they will stay there, and they will hold that lane. You can blink your lights. They don't care. They will stay in their left-hand lane.
Now, I move over. I mean, if you're flying behind me, you're trying to pass me, I'll move over so that you can go. But
okay.
If I have my druthers, I don't like weaving in and out of traffic. And if it's three lanes, I try to stay in the middle. That's my lane on the turnpike. I'm in the middle lane. I don't go slow, and I don't go real fast. But I don't like weaving in and out of traffic because you keep on hitting people and they're going slower than you got to go over and move around and go. That's just too much work.
It's the best thing to do is pick a lane. Pick a lane and stay in it, and normally not that left lane or that passing lane. Again, you know, we want people to share the road safely. Is it a violation of the law to go in that left lane and just drive the speed limit? No, it's not. You know, a lot of it's a courtesy thing and just a, you know, one thing that we would just recommend that, you know, people use some common sense and, you know, use that lane for letting people pass.
South Carolina, your mic is on. Hold on, Alabama. Okay. Go ahead, Alabama.
See how you do, Alabama. Y'all don't like us. I know we're number one in the country. Ohio State to get their chance. But anyway.
Hello.
South Carolina. Well, hold on, Alabama. South Carolina finally unmuted his phone. Go ahead, Sal.
No, I am hot and heavy and toys for tots right now, and people are calling me left and right trying to figure out if they've been approved for toys or did their application go through and things such as that. But if I can, I want to plug Toys for Tots. Listen, I'm in South Carolina. I do the program down here, but you've got in your area Toys for Tots campaigns going on right now and throughout the state. You'll notice a Toys for Tots drop-off point because you'll see a white box with a Toys for Tots train on it. Listen, just drop off and unwrap toy, got to be new, an unwrapped toy into our box to help, you know, make a child's Christmas nice. Last year, we across the nation, we helped to make Christmas better for 3.7 million kids, and the need is greater this year than last year. So if you got a toy, go buy, pick up an extra toy, drop it in the box. Some of the campaigns to collect money, you know, make a donation to Toys for Tots at www.toysfortots.org. And tell them what part of the country you're in, and they'll automatically send it to that campaign. So get out there and get some toys, folks. Put them in the boxes.
Listen, I expect a check from the Marines for the commercial.
From the Marine Corps? Yes. That's no problem, Tracy.
Okay. All right. Just check. Okay.
We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
That has nothing to do with it.
97.3% of all funds we collect go towards providing toys to kids. 97.
They need to get a book. They don't need a toy. They need to read a book.
Well, listen.
Learn
we
how
have
to drive. Hold on. Have respect for authority.
So
I think we ought to buy a little toy policeman.
Listen. We do have a book that tells women, explains to women how not to drive in the left lane.
Hey, send me some of those books so I can pass them out.
What? I just came on there, but what is it with the left lane?
I
want to
leave
that one alone.
Actually, I can tell you what it is. I really can't. Some of us don't like weaving, and some of us don't like. We do better with the median than with seeing out of one eye than the other peripherally. That's just saying according to me. And the soft shoulder, it's just hard.
Well, what drives me crazy is I set my cruise control, and I'm driving in the right lane. And the guy behind me can see that I'm closing on the guy in front of me. So instead of stepping on the gas and getting around me, he sits there right in my blind spot until I got to slam on the brakes. It just drives me insane. But I got a whole lot of respect. I got a whole lot more respect for truck drivers after I bought the big camper. Because
Six, I go through the same thing. I've seen that I've moved over to let people come on the ramp. And then instead of just getting up to highway speed, they'll linger right next to you. Now I'm stuck out in the left lane. I'm looking in my mirror waiting for this automobile or to make its move, and they just linger there. And what I have to do is, and normally it works, I'll put on my blinker. Then they'll either hit the brakes or accelerate and get out the way. And I use an officer, I do use a little intimidation, but I never use the truck or anything like that to push them over. But I will put on my blinker
to
get them. And I'll put on my blinker just to get them, because I really don't like being in traffic.
Well, none of us like being in traffic, but I have to get to my destination. But, I mean, I actually work well with truckers. I'm a good trucker driver. I get out the way. I try not to get in this blind side.
They don't stop.
Well, it's not that they don't stop. I need to. I understand.
They can't stop.
No, they can't stop. But there is a. You want to stay out of their blind side when you're trying to pass a truck. You need. Sometimes you just need to let them go.
Yeah.
When you're going down, you know, it's a team sport almost.
It is. It is a team sport. It only takes once. You know, we see tragedies all the time, and you know, everyone just they need to be vigilant. They need to know these truckers have blind spots. And when you're getting on that highway, you know, people are traveling 65, 70 miles an hour. When you're merging on, when it's time to go, you know, if the weather's decent, you need to get up to speed.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be messing around at 45, 35 miles an hour because those cars are coming up. They're closing fast, and you need to get up there and be vigilant and pay attention and get up to speed.
Do you recruit?
Yes, we do.
What's the requirement?
You have to be under 35 years of age.
I just made it.
No visible tattoos.
Really?
Or you can get them removed. I tell kids in high school this all the time. I see high school kids with tattoos on their arms. I tell them they're instant job stoppers.
Yep.
Be cognizant of the decisions you're making at this early age, because there's certain jobs if you want to go into that career, you know they may not hire you because of that tattoo.
You know the military really needs to put that forward too, because a lot of guys get tattooed up in the military and they want to go into law enforcement when they get out. They're unhirable.
And there's a lot of good guys in the military, good guys and girls that have tattoos, but you know, that's one of our policies. And
are there a lot of women troopers now? Is there a fair share?
I'm not sure of the percentage. If I was to guess off the top of my head, we probably have at least 150 ladies in the division. So we're 1,600 people in the Highway Patrol in Ohio. And approximately at least, I would say at least 150.
10%.
Yes.
That's good.
It is.
How about African Americans? How are we doing?
We're doing okay.
Are we getting better?
We're getting better. So I would, again, this I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I would say maybe close to 200. That might be a little high, but there's a decent percentage.
Because some of my closest friends were troopers and or they're retired. Jerry Thompson.
Yes, uh-huh.
Hill.
Yeah, Lieutenant Hill's still working.
Yeah. Is he really?
He's out of our licensed commercial standards section out of in Southington and Warren. Yes.
Wow.
Larry Dannell?
Is that you're on a first name basis because of the amount of times they've seen you professionally?
Pretty much. Pretty much, you know, we became friends. You know, I just hand them a license and, you know, and insurance card and registration and say, hi, how you doing? And give me my ticket and let me go. Ask
Tracy, one more question.
I don't like that radar thing. Huh? What, Alabama? Go ahead.
You just keep cutting me off. Anyway, I ain't trying to take over. I'm talking about the DUI. I ain't going to say nothing about making money. You know, we ain't going to get into that. But my friend got a DUI, and it was kind of weird. He said he had his car at the place, he had too many drinks, got in the back seat, and laid down. And there were other cars still in the parking lot. It wasn't like he was sitting there at 3 in the morning. And he laid there and was just chilling for a minute. I guess he said till he felt better. Knocked on the window. Came up. Didn't have a key in ignition or anything. And they gave him a $1,500 DUI. So I'm wondering, when you say DUI, it's kind of like you can get it almost it's any kind of way, really. You just don't even go near a car.
What state was that in, sir?
Alabama.
Alabama. Every state has similar but different laws. In Ohio, the law says no person shall operate a vehicle in the state while under the influence of alcohol and or drugs of abuse. So in the state, meaning technically you could be on your lawnmower in your front yard, and if we had a reason to go there and stop you or, you know, you could be arrested by operating your lawnmower, cutting your grass in your front yard. Now, operation, the definition of operation could be keys either in the ignition or ready at hand. So through their investigation, they could have determined that he was the only one, that was in possession of that vehicle, and under their definition of operation, even though he wasn't behind the wheel, that's why they may have charged him with DUI.
But, and this is probably a local police more than a state highway patrol. I had a friend years ago,
yeah,
came out of a bar, sit down, put his keys in the ignition, said, you know what, I don't need to be driving. Crawled in the back seat, went to sleep. Town cop gave him a DUI. Hood was cold. Car hadn't been moved. I mean, isn't that kind of just slapping a guy for
trying
to...
That's revenue generation. That's what it is.
There you go. But let me ask you, let me say this, because every now and then I do a lot of driving, and I get tired. And there, you know, sometimes I just pull over and I stop and I just go to sleep. I stop, you know, keep the car running and put it in park, put my flashers on. But after a while, sometimes your body just says, you need to pull over. The new cars now, some of them tell you, you need to take a break.
Right.
But, and I just pull over, and sometimes, you know, officers stop me, you know, come over and said, are you okay? And I said, yes, I just needed to take a break.
Right.
I need to take a, you know, 10, 15-minute nap. And then 15 minutes, at least until I get to a, you know, to a, on the turnpike,
yes,
to one of the you know, service stations.
Yes.
Right, yeah, but I need to, because I can't, I don't know how far it is from here to there, and I just need to stop. Is that a better way to go about it?
It definitely is. I stop people just to check on them. Disabled vehicle, they're pulling off to the side of the road. Sometimes they're taking an important phone call. So rather than driving and talking on their cell phone, they pull off the side of the road. Sometimes they've been driving for a while, like you just mentioned, they want to pull over and take a nap. If possible, pull over in a rest area. On the Ohio Turnpike, they have some emergency pull-offs. Pull over there, take a nap. But if you're that tired, you know, pull over, take a nap. Even though you may not supposed to be there, we would rather you take a nap there than possibly cause some type of tragic accident. So that's the right thing to
do. That's how I feel. That's how I felt. It just made sense to me because I'm afraid that I definitely don't want to go to sleep, because it's easy to go to sleep when you're tired behind the wheel and wake up in the back of somebody.
Now we've got ugly weather today here, and if somebody puts their car in a ditch, they call a tow truck. Is the State Highway Patrol required to be informed?
If there's damage to that vehicle.
Okay.
I would recommend if your car's in a ditch, give the Highway Patrol a call or your local police department, because what's going to happen is that tow truck's going to come out there that you call, and they're going to say, oh, there's damage. They're required to report this crash, and they're not going to move that vehicle until the Highway Patrol or the local authority comes out there.
See, I was very this is kind of a personal story. I got my son in trouble years ago because when I was growing up, you run through somebody's fence, you knock on a door, you say, I run through your fence, you come back next day and fixed it. Kid calls me, dad went in a ditch, car's totaled, but he didn't hurt nothing but his own car. I call a buddy of mine with a wrecker, say, go get the car in the morning. That afternoon, there's a trooper in my driveway talking to me about a hit and run.
Right.
And I was just flabbergasted because I had no idea because it was his own property.
Definitely. You are required to report those property damage crashes.
Even if it's your own property.
Even if it's your own property, yes, sir.
Huh? Let me ask you this. And speaking of reporting, hold on, just Alabama, and then I'm going to let you ask questions.
That's
leave.
Alex.
That's Alex. Oh, that's Alex.
I want to know,
I get in the car, sometimes there are fender benders, especially, you know, on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And do you just stop and exchange information, or do we all have to wait for the CHP to come and write a report right there? I mean, because every state's different.
Number one, we want you to be safe.
Okay.
It's dangerous out there. So if the vehicles can be moved, move them off to the road, move them to another location, call the Highway Patrol, call us for a report. You can exchange information, but a trooper will come out. When they do the report, they'll actually give you the other person's information also for insurance reasons. But if your vehicle's in a crash on the interstate, if they're still drivable, pull them off to the berm. Get off the main lines of travel.
Because the reason why I say this, because there are some people that they've gotten in not major fender benders cars, and they just stop.
No.
And they don't move, and then we all slow down, and then it creates a backlog.
It does, and we call that backlog the queue back there. And there's so many crashes, and we see it across the country, where people getting killed in crashes back there in that queue. So if those vehicles can be moved off to the side, move them off to the side. I know our dispatchers at Canfield Post and the Highway Patrol throughout the state, if they get a call of a crash, whether it's on Interstate 224 Mahoning Avenue here in Mahoning County in Ohio, they're directing the parties that the vehicles are drivable, pull into a private lot, pull into Walmart, pull into Kmart, pull on the berm. It's safer there.
Go ahead, Alex.
All right. I want to ask your guest a question about, I understand that, you know, state troopers, your job is to enforce the laws. Okay, that's great. But I wanted to get your opinion
on the laws that you have to enforce, because to me, it just...
He's going to try to get the brother
me,
in trouble.
Yeah, I know. Because the thing about it is that, to me, it seems like the state is becoming... it's becoming overburdening and turning into a police state. Because you have, instead of, you know, we already have laws on the books for, you know, reckless driving, careless driving, things like that. But when you start to add laws like you can't text while you drive and even driving under the influence and things, do you think that it starts to create more of a predatory nature in our law enforcement, instead of looking if people are operating safely? Now, because where does it end? I mean, you know, maybe you should be pulling over people with kids, because, you know, have you ever seen parents with kids, with two kids in the back seat screaming? They drive worse than people who are under the influence. You know, so I know that because I have two kids, you know, and that's me sometimes. And so I just wonder if what your opinion is about these laws, that maybe they're just, it's just starting to get ridiculous. I mean, it seems like we should just enforce the laws that's already on the books. Yeah, you shouldn't operate a vehicle unsafely.
Hey, Alex, I'm not going to let him answer that question because he's in uniform.
Okay.
He's on time today. He's on public time today.
Alex need to talk to those people that generate these laws that's trying to get paid.
What'd you say?
Because, I mean, that's just what it is.
Oh, you can answer it? Hold on.
I think the laws on the books are good, the ones we have. Even the ones that they're making, I think that they're making the laws, the legislatures, based on crash trends, crime trends, and just trying to make it a safer Ohio and a safer place to live. If people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, they don't have anything to worry about. Do I think it's becoming a police state? No. I see it daily. I see people crashing. I see people getting killed. And it may be that mother that's reaching back, slapping her child or something like that, that's driving left to center, hurting someone. But our troopers, you know, they're enforcing all the laws out there. That's what we get paid to do. That's what the legislature pays us to do. And our job is to try and make it a safer Ohio, and that's what we try and do it day in and day out. And those laws help us do that.
Good answer. Oh.
It's been a lot of years since I've seen a kid.
It's almost time for you to retire, isn't it? We can run him up for office.
Yeah. It's been a lot of years since I've seen a kid riding in a package show.
614, your mic is
Tracy,
on. Hold on, Alabama.
You just skipped Alabama.
614, your mic is on.
You told me I was next.
Hold on, Alabama. 614, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Matt.
Oh, my. Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Good. How
Sorry,
are you?
I'm good. Sorry I'm calling in. I'm calling from Santa's Steel Drum Workshop today. I just called in to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. And you, Jeff, the whole crew and everybody. And I also wanted to know if you heard about the latest story that came out this morning, considering the Thanksgiving turkeys that Obama was going to pardon.
What?
Well, apparently they escaped. They were caught, and, after a quick getaway, they tried to get away. And when questioned by reporters, they said, why are you trying to get away? And they said, well, Obama promised that that we would be able to live. So they had to get the heck out of there.
You know what? See there, you just had to call in and start something.
Yeah.
I just wanted to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving, and I don't have a lot of time here, so.
I love you. Thanks, Matt.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you.
See you next week. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll leave the mic still.
Alex, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
He ain't going to – he at work, man. He ain't going to come clean. Even if he probably doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that – They're predators. They don't look at it like that. You stop people right now, $3,000-$4,000 worth of tickets. Not him per se, not the state. It's usually these small cities and counties that do it. So, but those are the ones that's really trying to get paid.
Yeah. To me, it's like all these laws are just superfluous, you know. Because if it's already the law to operate your vehicle safely, why do you then have to be checking they're creating technology to check if someone's using their cell phone while they're driving their car. And I mean, when does it stop, you know?
I mean, that's saying. When you say police state, it's like that word right there, they get emotional about it. They don't like that because they feel like they're good guys and they work around their friends. They know their motives and intentions. And the problem I have is whenever people give up freedoms, it's always, well, if you're doing your part, then, I mean, don't worry about it. Like, you know, if you're upholding the law, why should you worry? Like, is there freedom? What if one day I need to make a phone call? It's an important phone call I need to make. I can't make it because I'm driving.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it really shouldn't matter if, you know, as long as you're not, you know, as long as you're operating your car, you know, your vehicle safely, they shouldn't be trying to have all these intrusive measures, you know. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I think they should be around when someone does something wrong. If you riding around, breaking speed limit, running stop signs, yeah, give them a ticket. But if you're driving normal, but oh.
Be able to pull them over and say, hey, you need to. Now, in the midst of that, if you don't have, let me see, that's the problem. A lot of them want to get you pulled over because of the seatbelt to write out an insurance or to write out a texting ticket. Myself, now they're trying to get to know if you've been texting, like you were talking about. They can get the phone,
plug it in, and see if you sent a text out.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, like because they're trying to get paid. It's about money. It's not about free. It's not about safety. I think 50% of what they do is to make money. The rest of it is probably, you take domestic violence out of the police calls, you're probably down to, a small fraction. And theft, domestic violence, and writing out tickets. And you probably, that's 90% of what they do.
Yeah.
And as far as my friend pulled this car over and it ran over and got in the mud and it kind of it hit a tree. He was pulling. He had some drinks, and the trucker told him he wouldn't pull his car, and that's why he said by law. And he got a DUI. And the thing is, if you refuse, they can almost count you as a DUI, even if you refuse the breathalyzer, and they're gonna take you to jail. Stupid stuff. I mean, it's about money. DUIs are a big business because you got to go to get, say, classes. You got to do a lot. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars for a DUI. You're going to come off at least $4,000.
Yeah.
That's why now it's the law. So, I honestly, for the life of me, if a car is registered, they shouldn't have no reason. Like, well, once the state knows that this is my car, I don't need to pay you $500 a year for the tag. That's just... That don't make sense.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's...
Even with licenses, I kind of feel like having a state ID, I don't know. I'm worried about that, to be honest with you. I mean, he said, and Sticks was like in 1903, the thing is, there were certain municipalities trying to get them, but it wasn't national, like every state didn't get into it. But when they saw it was a form of money, you can make money off that. Now I got something to hold you, hold track you by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what happens is they see it as a revenue stream, and then, so then they see that money and institute some program to spend that money on, and then, you know. So then they have to, and then so then they have later on they justify the program because they say, well, if we cut this, then you're going to cut these benefits to these people. You know,
it ain't just the benefits. If we cut this, you're going to have more accidents. It's measured off safety. It's measured off. I'm like, well, Texting may be an issue.
Yeah, but if you look at the if you look at the effective DUI laws, right, it has not decreased the number of car crashes at all. It doesn't do anything, you know.
It doesn't.
It's just teenagers.
Most a lot of these are teenagers that get drunk. If they get drunk, they are if they got drunk, they probably don't care about driving either. Because they shouldn't be drinking in the first place.
Yeah.
I was watching a Jim Stossel thing one time. He was talking about the wussification of them, but just how we just grit has just left the country. We don't have any grit. We're too soft. And the government's, let me pamper you. Let me take care of you. But they're really doing it for other reasons. And then people are like, well, I'm not breaking the law, so I don't care.
Yeah,
you know, like, hey, I don't mind them putting a noose around my neck. As long as they don't pull the gallows down, they can put a noose around my neck. That's how they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Can I say this? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is the new guy or G-Man or whatever, Gordon. But to me, a lot of this points towards the family. You know, the lack of a male in the household and someone who's...
Commander, that's a Navy rank.
Well, everybody come back,
rank
but Spears,
Spear
people, and so we get kind
so
of soft.
Call you by your assignment.
You call me Lieutenant.
Okay, Lieutenant. I'm leaving before he leaves, so I can get out the way. Have you ever noticed that when you guys go down the street, we all break and go extremely slow, and the flow of traffic just like piles up on top of each other because we're scared of you guys. You ever notice that?
I do, and there's no need to be afraid, no need to be nervous. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, nothing's going to happen.
That is the point. We all just stop. Life stops. We see your heart drop to the floor, got to slow down. Yeah, we do.
I know.
It's
and,
this nature. We're scared of the popo.
I think we got every reason.
When you see them, no matter what you're doing, you're going 5 miles per hour lower than the speed limit. Like, and I mean, they're not stupid. They know that you're going faster than that.
The lights are scarier.
But we do. We're scared of the lights,
you know,
the gray car.
People do that, and I would tell them just obey the laws. If we're on the interstate and I'm going 65 miles per hour and the speed limit is 70 and I'm in the right-hand lane, you shouldn't be afraid to pass. If you're going the speed limit, you know, you shouldn't be going over the speed limit. But if you're going the speed limit, don't be afraid to pass. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not violating the Ohio Revised Code. So just drive, and half the time we'll probably not even pay attention to that person anyway.
Well, I mean, and that's what I've noticed throughout the years. Unless you're doing something really stupid, they're probably not going to pay attention to you.
That's the truth. Our troopers and law enforcement, we hope everyone's out there being fair, treating people the way that they would want to be treated. I said earlier, I tell my guys and girls that, you know, make sure that we're treating people the way you want to be treated. And if your significant other was stopped, how would you want him or her to be treated? So make sure you're doing that when you're stopping cars and out there enforcing the laws.
8973, your mic is on. You there? Alex, your mic is up. 727, your mic is on also.
In a perfect society, I'd buy that, but I've been harassed by the police far too many times to say I shouldn't have any fear when I see the police. I'm sorry. I even have a fraudulent, I don't know, maybe that's not the right word, but a DUI charge on my record because it ended up getting thrown out because I blew like a OO, but it didn't matter because, you know, I was just tired. And so, and all because it's what the police do all the time. You know, they'll come behind your car and follow you for, you know,
stereotype that's what the police do all the time. Now, you may have one bad experience, but, you know, I wouldn't say that all police officers are like that. So, you know, and it sounds like the justice system worked in your case, what you're talking about. You said it ended up getting thrown out. You may have gotten stopped that night, and I don't know your situation or your circumstances, but, you know, there's protocols in place if you felt that you were done wrong or someone harassed you or they didn't do their job the way they were supposed to. You know, there's protocols in place where you need to file those complaints if that's the case.
Hey, Alex, I want to ask you this. Hold on, Alex. You are the post commander in Canfield.
Correct.
And you are an African-American.
I am.
And is profiling still real with the state trooper? I can't speak to it. Is profiling still out there like that?
You know what? Profiling, number one, profiling, racial profiling is illegal. And we do everything in our possibilities to prevent it. We document what race and gender that we stop in every stop, whether it's a warning, whether it's a defect, whether it's a citation, a ticket we issue. And quarterly, we review these statistics. We review the statistics. If they're stopping a certain amount of persons in this racial category, we review that, and we'll do a special review if someone gets flagged being outside the norms in the area. We'll look at that. We'll look at citizen complaints also. So we police that very – we do it all the time just to make sure that we're not out there or our officers not racially profiling. And I really don't think they are.
Because as an African-American yourself,
right,
you understand.
I do, yes. And number one, like I said,
because you're not a light-skinned black man.
No, I'm not. You know, racial profiling is illegal, and you know, we are charged with not only enforcing laws but upholding the law, and we should be setting an example. And like this caller, you know, it sounds like he had a bad experience. He may have had more than one bad experience, but there's a protocol that he needs to follow to make sure that those officers are being checked or being held accountable. And I think the justice system in his case actually worked. He was found not guilty, if that's the case.
Hey, Alex, you were was that in Florida,
yeah,
or was that in Ohio?
I've been harassed in both states, but the instance
but
I was
I'm
talking
saying,
about
no, I'm saying
local,
was it a
Florida
local municipality, or was it a trooper? Because it makes a difference. Because I find that the troopers are a little bit, like I said at the beginning of when he first said,
more professional.
No, they're more professional, but they're more static in every stop, how they approach the car, black, white. I've never, ever, and I've had my share of stopping, I've never, ever run into a trooper that has not been considerate, not in the state of Ohio. Now, I know Michigan's different.
It was not a trooper, no. No, it wasn't a trooper.
Okay. Because that makes a difference. To me, this is my own – local law enforcement is a little bit different than I found with our state police, our state troopers.
Can I clear something up just real
sure
quick? I'm not saying that, and I wasn't trying to imply that all police officers are that way. That's certainly not the case. I know plenty of very good and fine police officers. But what's unfortunate is that, like for an instance like mine, someone else who may not have had the means to do so, would their life may have been ruined because it cost me about $3,000 in attorney's fees just everything, getting out of jail, all that stuff. It cost me about $3,000. Now, somebody else who had of lesser means, their life might have been just destroyed because they may not have been able to get to work after that because they couldn't drive and all kinds of things. And so, I wouldn't quite say that it worked for me. It extremely inconvenienced me, and if I was somebody else, it may have had a much larger impact on my life. And that's the reason why it annoys me, because I see things like this happen all the time to black men.
I would say everyone, if someone's getting stopped in the state of Ohio, the officer needs to have probable cause. It needs to be a violation of the law. So, you know, officers have to have a reason to stop you. They shouldn't just be stopping you because. You know, again, I don't know the facts and circumstances of your case. You say it happens all the time. I know our troopers make a ton of stops. Our complaint rate is very low. You know, I can't speak for other agencies and what they're doing. I can talk about my agency. I can talk about my, you know, my specific assignment, my specific post. And one thing that I said that it sounds like the system worked, the criminal justice system, even though you had to pay some fees. And, you know, it sounds like you still maybe are not satisfied. You know, I would hope that, that you would have, if you felt so strongly what you did about your specific incident, that you would follow, you would have followed through to make sure that system was corrected for that next person.
How do you do that? How after you've been, after there's been an injustice, because, you know, Ohio State has sovereignty. They have, you know, they have a sovereignty. You can't sue them. So what recourse do I have when I have been either unlawfully detained and or incarcerated for a period of time? What do you do?
Well, your first step is to make a complaint with that agency. So, you know, go to the supervision there, and hopefully they would investigate it fairly and impartially. And again, we're just like everyone else. There's a system of checks and balances. You know, if something was to happen in our organization where, you know, we didn't handle it the way we should have, within our organization, you know, there's an attorney general. There's other things. There's other steps to go through. It may take some time. It may take some work. But if you honestly believe that, you know, something's wrong with that system, you know, I would encourage you to follow through.
Now, are there internal checks on each individual officer where they go back and look at his traffic stops and say, yeah. And there's an oversight as well. You know, this kind of looks like maybe you're starting to get close to the line here.
Yes, sir. In our organization, there is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
In state Iowa Patrol.
Monthly video reviews. We look at the race and gender and what they're stopping, what they're stopping for. So monthly review.
As compressed natural gas vehicles get more and more prevalent on the highways, are you guys doing training in those?
You know, not so much as troopers are we doing training. I know some of our firefighters and some of the other first responders are. Tracy mentioned it earlier about, we call it quick clear, moving vehicles off the side of the road when they're involved in crashes. You know, some of those and some of that training, we get some of the compressed natural gas and also some of your cars that are just, you know, running on batteries, if you will. Some of your smart cars and things like that. So we are looking at some of that, but more so in the fire aspect and how to battle those, you know, those crashes when they happen and those cars that have that gas on it.
Okay.
So it does make a difference. I didn't realize the different kind of car makes a different kind of response.
It all depends. I'm not a firefighter. That's not my field of expertise. But if you have something that's catching on fire, I'm not sure that they could fight a battery fire with just water. It may just cause it to explode or something worse.
Right.
They may have to use foam on that. So they need to know what they're dealing with in those vehicles.
I never paid attention
to
that.
We're getting a larger and larger number of over-the-road trucks that are running on compressed natural gas now.
Yes.
727, your mic is still on.
Okay. You touched on it a little bit earlier. I was ticketed for parking on the ramp. You were saying if you were tired, bad weather, and you pull on the ramp. But what is the ruling on that? If you're on an on-ramp, you pull over on the shoulder because due to bad weather or you're tired. This was a PA, Pennsylvania State Patrol, who ticketed me. But what is the ruling on that?
I can't speak for Pennsylvania. I can tell you you're not allowed to park on the interstate, stop or park on the interstate, unless you're a disabled vehicle or you're engaged in some type of highway work. That's the only time you're allowed to pull over, stop, or park on the interstate. Again, that's the interstate system in the state of Ohio. In Pennsylvania, where you parked or pulled over, I'm not sure if it was marked no parking or what the circumstances were. But I would tell you this. We tell our troopers in Ohio to use some common sense. You know, if the person's pulled over and parked there, we may go up there and tell you to move. you know, one of the last things that we want to do, specifically if you're there for a safety reason, the roads were really bad, you couldn't move down to the next rest area or the next exit, you know, I would hope that they would give you a break there, either tell you to move or if you were in a safe spot to just leave you there.
Speaking of which, you know that little U-turn in the middle of the freeway that you guys don't want us to use?
Yes.
Why?
Why shouldn't you use it?
Okay. 7-Eleven connector.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that I can take the 7-Eleven connector all the way around to 80. I can take it to 80, but it only goes 80 east. It doesn't go 80 west. So how am I going to get off on Belmont Avenue? So I have to go all the way to Hubbard, turn around at the truck stop, and come back to get to Liberty. To get to 80, when I could have gone to the, don't laugh, because I'm not the only one that has done. We've all done this.
Or you could have gotten off of Gypsy Lane and went down to 422.
No. I passed Gypsy Lane because I thought there was another exit to take me around. Why would they make it? That doesn't make sense for them not to make an exit going back the other way to get the motor in. That's just crazy. So why can't I make a U-turn?
Number one, it's illegal. There's a sign there that says unauthorized vehicles only.
But why is it illegal? They're not driving?
Yeah. Well, if you have people going through there, you have an interstate system. I think the speed limit there is 50 miles an hour on 7-Eleven. Is it 50?
It should be down to 40 because that's a dangerous freeway in the wintertime.
Well, specifically those, if motors start going out there and pulling out, you have that person going 50, 55 miles per hour down the street, there's probably going to be a crash. They're not going to get up to speed.
But I'm at 80. I'm at 80 by then. I'm going. And then come on.
Maybe you're the exception.
I mean, I'm just saying. There are other places where you can't turn around. And sometimes you just say the heck with it. If I get a ticket, I get a ticket. But I'm not going that far out the way. But tell me, why would they make legislation where you couldn't turn around? And now the turnpike I can understand because it's a paved toll street. But
imagine three or four vehicles. Maybe trying to turn around in there, and you're on an interstate system or a state route system, you have people coming up 35, 40 miles per hour or 70 miles per hour, and all of a sudden there's people stopped, backed up because they're about to make a U-turn. It's going to be devastating.
But
it's there for a reason. It's
there
for your safety.
Yeah. I know personally that it would scare me to death to see ordinary people in that median strip. I'm cautious when I see a state patrol or a service truck in there, which my first thought is, are they going to pull out? And if they do, will they get up to highway speed? And again, remember, for me, if I'm in my truck, I would say 90% of the time I use the cruise and I have it set at 65 if the speed limit allows. So the whole idea of me getting down the highway is to make time without speeding. So now I'm doing 65 and someone pulls out in front of me and they're trying to get up to speed, especially from a center turnaround. Now that's a dilemma. Now I'm watching, but somebody else may not be watching and paying attention. And then they'll drive right into the back end of that vehicle. And that's why I would say it's unsafe.
I also want to throw in there going down 80. There's some construction going on 80 as you pass by Belmont going towards Hubbard. And we've had several crashes on dry land. So I can imagine what happens on wetland and in the snow. And I was in a meeting the other day, and I was talking to some people, and I was asking what was the cause of this. And they were telling me that most of it is operator error.
It is. There's a lot of driver inattention, operator error, you know, people not paying attention. And we can look throughout not only this year, even the past year, there's been some serious crashes where the interstate has been shut down.
Right.
In that specific area in Hubbard and Liberty Township over there.
Yeah, it's the U-turn thing. There's a rest stop up on 11 up north there. That there's only one on the left side or on the west side of the road for both north and southbound lanes. You know what I'm talking about up north up there?
You talking about on State Route 11?
On State Route 11.
On State Route 11, the ones in Mahoning County are closed, but the ones in Trumbull County,
right. There's
not any on Trumbull County. They're actually in Ashtabula County.
Okay, because we go up there every year, and there's that one. And there's only one rest stop for north and southbound traffic, both.
That's in Ashtabula.
Yeah.
That's right across the line up around milepost 72, somewhere around
and
there.
And we stop there. We go up there to the D-Day thing.
Okay.
And we stop there usually on our way up there. And every time I got to make that turn,
yes.
with my camper and get back out on 11 going north. It just, your heart's in your throat.
Matter of fact, the speed limit up there has increased in that area. I think north of, I believe it's north of 305 in Ashtabula County where it's more rural. It's actually increased to 70 miles an hour up there. So.
And I just wanted to say, because I was sitting at a meeting and we were talking about travel in Ohio and getting back and forth, and I asked the question, because there were so many crashes this past year on that 80. And I said, well, you know, what's going on? They said, well, there's construction there, and with the new bond levy, we're going to have a whole lot of construction going on 80 and a lot of our freeways in Ohio. And I was asking them what was going on, why are so many people getting crashed and the traffic was backing up. And they told me it was just simple operator error. And what is the protocol for me going through construction zones?
Number one, you need to obey those traffic control devices. You know, a lot of times in our construction zones, the speeds are reduced. When you see that sign that says construction ahead, you need to start preparing yourself that construction's ahead. Then there's traffic control devices that say the left lane's closed. So that means you need to move over into the right lane. If it says maintain your lane, maintain your lane. That means no passing or changing lanes in that construction zone. And just pay attention. You know, don't wait till the last minute to merge. We see a lot of people doing that because they want to get ahead. They're not going to get any further ahead. They might get ahead of one person, but they're still going to have to go through that zone. So pay attention to traffic control devices. Know that there's workers there. Every year there's workers killed in construction zones because of the driver inattention, people not paying attention, people not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
It just amazes me how you can be driving down the road at 70 and then all of a sudden nobody's moving. I mean, it's just, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And on snow days, you need to have a clear, short distance between you and the car in front of you.
That's correct.
Because your car may slide if it is going, and if you're moving faster than, you know, you need to pay attention because a lot of people slide into other people accidentally looking up and finding out they're stopped.
Yeah. The rule of thumb is every 10 miles an hour, you should be about a car length behind the vehicle in front of you. So, you know, if you're going 50 miles an hour, we'd like to see at least 5 car lengths back. You figure the average human reaction time is 3/4 of a second. So that's the time you perceive it, you react. You know, you're closing some serious distance. So
no drafting.
Yeah, no drafting. This isn't,
what is drafting?
Yeah, this isn't NASCAR. This isn't the Indy 500. This isn't Sharon Speedway. So no drafting.
What is drafting?
In my younger days, I used to draft.
What is a draft? That's something that you get in the military. What is a draft?
Big trucks. That's when you put your front bumper right in that against the guy in front of his back bumper, so he's breaking the wind for you.
Better aerodynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I can tell the difference when we're pulling the trailer, when we're pulling a camper. If we get in the middle of a line of trucks, I can feel it. The fuel efficiency changes.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing.
Drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, please don't try that.
No, I don't do that.
All right.
I'm friends with the truckers. I just try to get in the, I may be on the left side in the left lane in that tailwind, but I don't get behind them. They may stop. How important is it for me to clean off the lights of my car?
It's very important. You know, those
we don't do that.
Well, you're wrong.
A lot of people, but I'm sorry, people go out there and they do the windows, but they forget the lights.
You know, this morning I got up, probably 8 inches of snow on my patrol car. Got up, started up, warmed it up, make sure all my lights were clear. The light bar on top, headlights, rear lights, back window.
You can turn off the light
window.
Bar on top. You just you're gonna plug the fuse.
Make sure they were all clear. It's actually those lights. You know, they need to emit a certain candle power and need to be beaming out. And it's for your safety. So it is a violation of law to have those things, you know, where they're obstructed, if you will.
So is license plate lights.
You need to have a white light illuminating your rear license plate light in the state of Ohio.
I didn't know that.
About your license plate being obstructed with foreign matter?
Snow.
It can, yep. You need to clear the snow off of it also. You can't have any non-transparent material on your back window, front window, so non-transparent could even mean snow, so you can't have that back window covered with snow. You know, some people put on their front windshield or back window, they put the floor mat there, and they'll take it off so they have just a little space to see. I've seen that. You know, that's wrong. They can't do that.
Yeah, put the windshield wipers up, put a little piece of cardboard over drivers. Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
It's dangerous.
I've never seen that.
You don't have that 360 view of outside traffic and things like that. Just take
them rural people.
Can I ask another question, Tracy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about it because you touched on it, covering your license plate. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I've seen. Now, you know, I think, you know, you should have your, like here in Florida, you don't have to have a front plate like you do. Or at least you used to have to when I lived in Ohio. But in Florida,
you
all
still
you need
do.
Is a back. Oh, okay, all right.
Stop, they got a ticket.
In Florida, all you need is a back plate.
Yes.
Is there any laws against having anything? Because some people are designing these things that you can put over your plate so that only, say, a police officer can see your plate, but if a camera at a high angle, you know, like up on a pole or something, because some people feel like that's it kind of intrudes on their rights or whatever. Is that illegal to put something like that over your license plate to where it's still viewable to an officer, but it would obstruct a picture being taken from the camera?
In the state of Ohio, your license plate need to be clearly visible and cannot be obstructed by anything, any foreign material matter, which could be snow, dirt, something like that. So as long as it can be seen, I'm not sure that I really understand what you're talking about, where it could just be seen by an officer.
He's referring to traffic cameras. The license plate covers that are designed to foil a traffic camera.
No, it needs to be plainly viewable by an officer in a patrol car in the state of Ohio.
I I have a problem with traffic cameras. I really do. I personally feel like they cause more accidents than they save, because they even put those ones in Salem they're not a camera. They're supposed to be timing the lights. And you'd be surprised the people that as soon as they see one of those things, slam on the brakes.
Well, in Pennsylvania, they flash a light, and it takes a flash picture of your license plate as soon as you blow the yellow light. I've learned. and in Maryland, they send you a ticket in the mail.
Hmm.
Compliments of the Maryland.
same thing in Colorado.
We actually don't deal with the Highway Patrol in Ohio. We don't deal with those traffic cameras or traffic lights.
Before you go, can we talk about radar?
We can talk about it.
That's mean.
You said it's mean?
Yes.
Mean?
Yes. Radar on 76.
Okay.
That's awful.
Why is that awful?
At least I have a 50-50 chance of seeing you sitting in the little cubbyhole waiting to get me. But when there's radar, I have no idea where you are. And just marking the little white markers on the side of the road, that's just mean.
You're talking about airspeed. That's
yeah, that's mean.
About.
Airplanes.
Yeah, that's awful.
Well, I will tell you this, Tracy. The legislature put that speed limit out there for a reason. And if you obey that, you won't have to worry about
that's what I'm saying.
You won't have to worry about those eyes in the sky and that trooper stopping you down the road.
I thought those signs were there for decoration.
You're talking about those white marks on the road.
I'm serious. The little white marks on 76.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they use them on the turnpike. I don't think they do, because if they did, they'd get everybody. But that's not the point. On 76, that's just me. I mean, at least if you're just sitting.
Speed limit signs for the other guy too.
Well, no, the speed limit sign is there. It tells you, but usually you see the little gray and white cars. You got SUV. That at one time everything was uniform. Now you got to check colors of cars. You got to check what kind of car it is, because you got to find out which ones for the trucks and which ones for you. But they can all stop. But that's not the point. But at least you had if you saw the little lights coming out, then you knew it behooves you to slow down. You got to be, if you can see them, you can pay attention, you can brake, and you can slow down before you pass by with the little radar gun. In the sky with the airplane, we don't know you're even there. You don't even have flashing lights up there.
You do when we stop you.
I know.
That's too late for you?
Yes.
That's too late?
Yes.
The best advice I could give you is that sign that says 70 miles an hour or 65 or 55, obey it. That's the best advice I can give you.
But you understand where I'm coming. That is awful. And they pull you over just as nice and say, hey, you mind pulling over?
You got to be right when nobody's watching.
I am right when nobody's watching.
Well, then you have to worry about that guy in the sky.
It's straight road. It's the worst road going through Ohio. That is 71. It's the longest trip in America.
Look, we want you to be safe and everybody else out there.
Now I know about the white light.
We want you to arrive alive for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm this time I'm trying to get to Columbus. Thanksgiving is. I'm not going fast. It's no
Thanksgiving,
outside.
Christmas, New Year's, forever.
But that's,
wherever you're
that's
going.
That's just me. Have you seen those little white lights? And if you make there's a little plane that flies over, and if you make it between one white stripe and another white stripe too fast, then they go and radio somebody on the ground and say, pick up the red truck. And I'm trying to figure out how they got a license plate on top of my car.
But in all honesty, Tracy,
what?
When the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, I got a lot of speed tickets. You can ask my wife.
Oh, yes.
I got a lot of speeding tickets. You
don't feel bad.
You raise the speed limits to 65 and 70, I never get a ticket anymore. I just set that cruise control at 65 mile an hour.
70 miles per hour is fast. It really is.
It is.
I've done some time at a buck 20. It's scary.
Oh, I don't do that. No. That's crazy. I keep on telling y'all. 8440, your mic is on.
Yeah, you know, I've been stopped, and you know what? I've never been stopped because I was doing the right thing. So, you know, you got to own it. You got to own it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're...
I agree. I mean, most of the times when they stop me, I just pass, go start looking for stuff and say, here. And I want to just know where you are. I didn't pass you.
Tracy, don't leave your license wrapped up in a $50 bill either. That's probably not a good idea.
Oh, no, that's stupid. No. I told you they go to school and something happens. They're all uniform. Mm-mm. I ain't had no warning yet. We
got
to talk about the warning thing. I never get a warning.
My license plate.
I never get a warning.
I've never gotten a ticket.
Maybe you're doing something that doesn't warrant a warning.
I'm very nice to authority. I have no problem with authority.
It probably had nothing to do with you being nice. It's what the violation was that you committed.
What's wrong with doing, I think it was doing 76 and a 65. I thought you had 10 miles leeway or 5 mile leeway between.
Who told you that? Is that written in the Ohio Revised Code? Did the legislature say you have 5 mile leeway? 11-mile leeway or 10-mile?
I thought anything under 10 was you were safe.
Well, that's a misconception. You can get a ticket that's, 1 mile an hour over the speed limit.
Huh?
I tell my troops to make sure that you're treating people fair and, you know, you're not giving them a ticket for something that you're doing or going to do. So, but you're subject to a ticket at that. And depending on the weather, you could be going the speed limit and get a ticket for going an unsafe speed.
I want to ask you this because... What's the speed law on a passing situation on a two-lane road?
You can't go over the speed limit. The speed limit's there for a reason. So in other words,
if you're following a guy at 45,
and what speed limit?
And the speed limit's 55. Yeah. You cannot exceed 55 mile an hour.
You're correct.
Passing.
Yes,
that's the law.
That's the law. You can't exceed the speed limit.
What dummy did that?
See, I was always under the false impression that you were allowed 10 mile in a passing situation for safety.
No.
Okay.
Really?
If you can't make that pass doing the speed limit, probably shouldn't be passing.
Now, wait a minute. Now let's go off-road. Let's do some of those. Hold on. 727, check this out. And let's talk about these rural roads. Now, some of them are going 55. No more, no less. And then they break it back down. Now, if I need to get around. I only have a certain small window to get around between at the turns. I need to get around them because they're going to kill me.
How are they going to kill you?
Because they won't move away.
You need to be patient.
You should
have left a little bit earlier to get to your destination to compensate for that person that may be going a little bit slower.
No, they need to stop.
Tracy,
so
this guy is
walk.
Too sharp. This guy is sharp.
Hey, you know what, sir? I like you. Can you come fill out an application for our division? Because I like you. I like what you said about taking responsibility for your own actions. We need some guys like you. We need some more like you.
Let me ask you this question. With all this construction, I don't know if this is out of your line, but. With all this construction in Ohio, is there plans to their ideas to run three lanes between Akron to the state line?
You know, I'm not sure of their exact plans. It kind of looks like that coming out of, if you look at the rest of the state, 71 going south into Columbus, all that construction. They just opened or widened up the bridge there in Hubbard Township on Liberty.
I think in the future, I don't know if it's 2-3 years out, I think that's my own opinion that may be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, three lanes is just a beautiful thing.
It
traveling
is.
From Lodi down to Columbus, that is a
yes.
beautiful
yeah, it
thing.
Is. Yes. I know it's been a pain specifically earlier this year down there in Morrow, Delaware County, and some of Knox and Richland County there on 71, that 10-mile stretch of construction. But, you know, once that stuff is finished, it's nicer. It really is. And then if you do, the unfortunate times you have accidents or crashes, you know, a lot of times you can clean them up or at least get one or two lanes moving also.
Right.
Three lanes there.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. And one other question I have. Why does it seem to be in the wintertime you have more accidents, Hubbard and Mercer? Is it just the land or is it something
it's
about
the
road? But there just seems to be an awful lot of accidents in that area.
You know, I can't speak for Mercer. I live somewhat in that area, and even being from Mahoning County, you always hear the crashes over on 80 in Mercer County in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure what their issues are over there. I think ours, a lot of it's driver inattention. Why it happens more so or we see more of it this time of year, I can't answer that. But it just seems like in all these crashes, somebody was doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. They were falling asleep. They were distracted. They were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing and caused the crash. So, you know, the best advice I could give people is just, you know, pay attention, drive within your abilities, and just, you know, driving a vehicle, it takes a lot of focus and control. And sometimes with all our gadgets and things that, you know, we just take our mind off the task at hand, which would be safely operating that vehicle.
In your opinion, the new cars? They are remarkable what they do. I mean, they tell you when you are too close to either side of the lane. I mean, they're smart cars. What do you think about those? And then the GPS. I mean, all of us are now, you know, Google Map and GPS. You know, we're all doing – there's a lot of technology with our cars today. What do you think about this and with the safety of it?
You know, I think the technology is good. I really do. I just think that people need to use it when it's appropriate. You know, it's not appropriate to take your focus off of driving to look at something, to do this or that. They can pull over safely, get somewhere, or have it mapped out prior to them going. You know, use it. But you have the human element behind it, and you need to think about it. But one thing I can say about vehicles, the safety of them, they are much better today than they were back in, you know, the 60s and 70s. And the safety is built around that passenger compartment. So people need to wear their seatbelts. That's the single most thing that they could do to minimize their chances of being injured or involved in a fatal crash.
I don't like seatbelts.
You know what? Seatbelts save lives. It's a proven statistic. Look at some of these serious crashes you see on the TV. Check out the passenger compartment. Look at the passenger compartment. Most of the time, the passenger compartments are intact.
Tracy,
look at them.
There's a reason NASCAR requires safety belts.
But they're uncomfortable, and they wrinkle your clothes.
You know what? Would you rather them be uncomfortable and wrinkle your clothes and be alive? I wouldn't be able to come in here and see you. You might not. You might just be going around the corner to the grocery store, going to get some milk, going to get some turkey for Thanksgiving, and somebody else does something wrong. But Tracy didn't have her seatbelt on, and then I'm going to see Tracy. Come, you know, but Tracy's not coming for me. I don't want to do that. I want to come back
deal.
And see you.
That's a bad deal, man.
It is.
You pull out of my driveway, and you ain't looking right. One of Mr. Marty's tractors hits you. And you ain't got your seatbelt.
What does that have to do to a car? Now, a deer will take you out.
You never heard of a long goose tonnage, have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah, you did.
I know deers are dangerous.
A 50-ton vehicle at 20 mile an hour can hurt you. Badly.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
What about deer? I mean, you know, deer running the freeways. They're running.
We see them all the time.
How do I handle that?
Several hundred crashes.
How do I handle deer on the freeway? What do I do with it?
I would tell you, hopefully they run out of the way, but I would pretty much keep driving straight ahead. We see a lot of crashes. We've even seen fatal crashes where people have swerved to avoid and lost control. You know, that's a judgment call that you're going to have to make. If it were me personally, I'd probably just I'd slow down and
plow the deer
and probably go. You know, I've seen them go over cars. You know, very seldom I see them go in cars. I've seen them hit the windshield pretty bad, but the majority is when people swerve and then they lose control. So
that's why I said, because slamming on brakes is not a good thing with deers on the freeway.
Am I allowed to keep my deer?
If you're involved in a crash and you have you struck a deer, call the Highway Patrol Post. We'll give you a receipt for it. That way, when you go to get it processed, you know, you're not going to get in trouble for someone thinking maybe you were poaching or something like that.
Hey, I want to get into this because we're getting late in the day here. You know, harvest season's over, spring planting season's a couple of months away. What's the rules for going around slow-moving vehicles on our two-lane roads?
Yes.
Are you allowed to pass on double yellow?
No, you're not. So you're not, you know, double yellow's there for a reason.
Oh, going to jail.
With a slow-moving vehicle sign on it.
Yeah, even something with
combine,
slow-moving.
Combine, tractor.
Yeah. You know, they, sometimes, depending on the road, sometimes they'll pull over in a parking lot or kind of maybe a driveway access and give you access. You still need to do it safely if you are.
Amish buggies?
Amish buggies. And I had an opportunity to work, you know, Wayne in Holmes County, which there was a heavy Amish population when I first got on the Highway Patrol. But no, it has to be a legal passing zone.
And Amish people can get arrested for DUI.
Yes, they can.
It's a horse. That was enough. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. It's a horse. You can't. You don't pull over. You guys don't pull over buggies, do you?
Yes, we do. You know, they're required to have their buggies marked either with a slow-moving vehicle emblem or reflectorized tape. There's certain, you know, at night they're supposed to have certain lanterns and reflectors. So, you know, that's a vehicle, and they need to have it.
That's a vehicle?
Yeah, it's the definition of vehicle. Not a motorized vehicle, but it is a vehicle, and there's certain laws and restrictions and things that they need to comply with also.
Now, are they going to start, you know, going after scooters? Because, you know, some people think scooters are cars.
Right. There's different license restriction on those, too. So.
Are there really?
Yeah, and the guy that called earlier, you're talking about motorized scooters, kind of like a moped, right?
No, I'm talking about the ones that old people drive because they can't walk.
Oh, those ones. I thought you were talking about the other ones.
No, people are putting them in the streets now.
Well, if it's a slow move, some of them have slow moving, smoothing vehicle emblems on them. I don't know.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
So.
Now, if it has an engine on it in Ohio, are you required to have some formal license for it to put it on a public street?
When you say it,
I'm talking mopeds, scooter, not well, yes,
mopeds,
scooters.
Mopeds and scooters need to have lights on it. That guy that's operating the wheelchair, if you will, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need a license.
But he needs to stay off the street driving.
He should, yes. He needs to be on the sidewalk somewhere where it's safe.
Yeah, but I mean, where I live, they drive them. They drive them on State Street on 422. I'm like, you kidding me?
Is there a sidewalk there or not?
No.
It's not.
If there's no sidewalk, they really don't have much choice but to be on the street.
They should.
But then again, is that something that should be operated in like you're walking? They should be on the opposite, facing oncoming traffic then. Correct.
We got to get somebody
on two-lane roads.
This
if you're walking, you're supposed to walk on a two-lane road. You're supposed to walk
facing
on
traffic
on the left-hand side of the road. If you're walking.
Walking, there's really no laws for walking, if you will.
Okay.
Operating a bicycle, you should be going with your vehicle.
Okay.
You should be going with the flow.
Okay.
A lot of times you see people going the opposite direction.
You should be going with the flow of traffic.
Well, on a bicycle,
on a bicycle.
Okay, so then scooters would be the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. They need not to wear black in the middle of the night either.
That's true.
I've got to go prepare for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to leave Sticks in charge, even though I've torn up the board. They're going to yell at me next week. But it'll be after Thanksgiving, and I'm going to break.
Make sure you tell them about this before you leave. Somebody might want to use that before Monday.
They'll figure it out. And if they want to use it before Monday.
I'm going to put a big sign on here before I leave. Tracy broke.
No, don't put Tracy down.
Because I get blamed forever.
No, Jeff gets blamed for everything.
Oh, okay. We'll just blame Jeff.
That's right. Blame Jeff. It's all right. Hey, listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hopefully Dr. Hill's going to hang out and stay with you today. You guys can get that because I'm going to do Thanksgiving. Would you say that? He can do that. Oh, good. We're in business. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
A lot can happen during the life of your interstate car battery.
Nice ride.
Thanks. Want to go steady?
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Honey, I think it's time.
It's a boy.
Jimmy, soccer practice.
Dad, can I borrow the car?
Hey, nice ride.
Thanks. Want to go steady?
No battery lasts longer than an Interstate, and the new Interstate AGM lasts up to 3 times longer than the competition. To find a dealer near you, visit interstatebatteries.com.
If you're considering putting hardwood, bamboo, or laminate floors in your home, there's only one thing you need.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Well, ho there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM, every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness. Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM, every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Roads in the valley are snow-covered and slippery, and there's been some minor accidents plus power outages. A winter storm yesterday hit the area. PennDOT has been out treating the roads, but in some areas the snow was heavy, creating a wet slush on roadways. Boardman Township had the most power outages late last night, with 155 customers in the dark. Some forecasters are saying this storm will likely be the biggest November has seen in Youngstown since 1971. A Warren man was just given 2 life sentences for killing his parents. A judge decided 33-year-old Lewis Mann will have no possibility of parole. Mann was convicted of murdering his parents at their home. His father was beaten and shot in the head, and his mother strangled with a clothesline. And on a much brighter note, the city of Youngstown is celebrating the holiday. The official Christmas tree has arrived downtown. It's nearly 40 feet tall and was donated by a resident on North Hazelwood Avenue. The city parks department will now decorate the tree. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
What does the Black Friday sale mean at Taylor Kia? Big savings that start now and end Monday. Buy a new Kia and get a mini tablet. Get 0% financing on a 2014 Kia Sorento. For credit? No problem. We'll help get you financed. Here's the best part. Come in now and you're guaranteed at least $4,000 for your trade, no matter what you owe. 0% financing, a minimum of $4,000 for your trade, and a mini tablet with the purchase of any new Kia. Perfect for on-the-go entertainment and web browsing. amazing. Plus, every Kia is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Get Black Friday savings now through Monday, including a mini tablet. Get to Taylor Kia, the better way to do Black Friday. Hurry, sale ends Monday, December 2nd. Mini tablet, 16GB, up to $399 retail value with purchase or lease of any new Kia. 4,000 trade allowance, eligible on purchase of new 2014 Sorento, excludes lease. 0% APR, up to 60% on 2014 Sorento, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and fees. Offers end December 2nd, 2013. See dealer for complete details.
A lot can happen during the life of your Interstate car battery.
Nice ride.
Thanks. Want to go steady?
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Honey, I think it's time.
It's a boy.
Jimmy, soccer practice.
Dad, can I borrow the car?
Hey, nice ride.
Thanks. Want to go steady?
No battery lasts longer than an Interstate, and the new Interstate AGM lasts up to 3 times longer than the competition. To find a dealer near you, visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Have you been thinking that the stock market and 401ks aren't what they're cracked up to be? Listen to Straight Talk Wealth with David Gallner every Saturday at 11 a.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Tracy and friends, WSOM 600 AM. It Sticks here visiting with you today. Tracy's on her way to cook her Thanksgiving dinner. Our number is 347-945-5229. And in the studio with me, I have Dr. Hill and Lieutenant Hendricks from the Canfield Post of the State Highway Patrol. Tracy doesn't want to leave. Oh, my.
Hey, Sticks.
My.
Hey, Sticks.
On the internet line with me, I've got South Carolina and 727. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing good.
So what are you up to today, Doc?
Well, I just left the office. I was listening to the show. You have to come by and see what's going on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, you want to take off the weekend except for making or delivering? I don't want to say that.
Actually, no. Actually, no. I'm actually coming to make a decision. So I'll probably be busy a little bit this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be off Christmas, so
okay.
It works.
Well, let's get back to our discussion about
doctor.
What's going on with the traffic and roads and bridges and all those kind of things.
It Sticks.
No, I've just lost my train of thought. Well, you wouldn't believe it. We're doing really good. Tracy has that effect on everybody, you know. She can keep, yeah, I know. She can keep everybody talking. But anyways, you know, we were talking earlier about the professionalism of the State Highway Patrol versus some of the other law enforcement agencies in the state. Do you have a different selection process than say your average municipality or township?
Well, number one, I think that overall, you know, most agencies, whether state, local, or federal, are professional. I know that our selection process in the Highway Patrol is a little bit different than other agencies. You know, I don't have the exact statistics, but you know, we could have an applicant pool of 3,000, and out of that 3,000, maybe only 100 will get selected. You know, they get disqualified for many different things. Number one, maybe having a criminal background, felony background, too many traffic tickets. It could be something that they had visible tattoos. Maybe they, smoke some type of illegal narcotic. So, you know, we carefully screen and have a lengthy selection process just to get the people in the door. And then the training is another thing once we go down, once they get accepted and go down to Columbus.
Okay, so if you're accepted to be a state highway patrolman, then you don't go through any of these police academy type things.
We don't go through a local academy. Every state trooper in Ohio goes through the doors at the State Highway Patrol Academy, 740 East 17th Avenue in Columbus. They receive the same training. It's approximately 6 months long. You know, our training starts as early as, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning where we get the cadets up. They do physical training. They have different chores and things that they need to do, college-level work, and then lights out. 10 or 11 o'clock at night, but they're busy the entire time that they're down there. Not only they're learning the traffic laws, the laws of Ohio, what we expect of them as state troopers. They have the college-level work combined with the intense physical work also.
Okay. So basically they're in military basic training for that period of time.
It is. You know, there's times if they're doing things the way they're supposed to that, they may be able to have Wednesday liberty. They may be able to call home to one of their family or loved ones. But sometimes they don't call or say anything throughout the week. That's just part of getting them to the point that where we want them so they're disciplined and they can come out here and enforce the laws fairly and firmly, and also deal with different situations, stressful situations, and make good decisions. You know, they're faced with different things every day. It could be getting into a fight. It could be changing a flat tire. It could be responding to an incident at a school. You name it. So we try and train them mentally and physically for as many situations as we can.
Now I've noticed and from my political perspective, this is a thing that concerns me. It seems like the police all over the country are becoming more and more militarized. And when I went to come and see you and ask you to come over here, I noticed the two gentlemen that questioned me in a parking lot, both were wearing black, and I've never seen a state highway patrolman in that uniform before. Is something going on there? Is there a change or is something going on? Or
number one, the uniform of the day that I am in currently is what troopers should be out there daily, stopping cars in, investigating crashes, responding to incidents. We have several different entities in our organization. Our troopers do things from executive protection, guarding the governor. We have K-9 handlers, people that specialize in commercial vehicles, licensed commercial vehicles, motor vehicle inspectors. So depending on the assignment that person was in that you saw in my parking lot, that might have dictated the type of uniform they were in. Those guys, they could have been on our special response team serving warrants. I'm not sure exactly who was out there.
All right.
When we walked in.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You noticed Saturday, looking at TV, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, LSU.
I think I know where you're going with this.
The coach has a couple of state troopers standing right by our side. What is that about?
You know, those are, number one, it's a from my opinion, I think that's a protection thing. Those guys are high-profile coaches, if you will. And you see a lot of the southern states doing that.
Yeah.
They send someone. Now, number one, the Ohio State Highway Patrol does not send a trooper with Urban Meyer. In my opinion, I believe if he requested it, we would probably take care of him in that aspect. And I'm not sure if the Columbus Police Department, Ohio State University Police Department, I'm not sure if they send someone with him on away games or not. But, I think it's a security thing. I think it's a somewhat of a status thing, too, letting, there's a state trooper beside that coach, and, they're representing that state. In my personal opinion, that would be nice to see Ohio do that.
But you always notice.
You do. You do. And I've been to school with guys from the Georgia State Patrol, Florida and talk to them about that detail. And, you know, those guys, I think those guys are actually assigned to the coach, and that's what their job is. Off-season, in-season, is to be with that coach and anything he needs,
okay.
You know, protection-wise.
Okay.
Now, in Ohio, and I'm not sure if this is true with the other states, our state highway patrol is responsible for investigating civil aviation accidents, correct?
You said investigating...
civilian aviation accidents.
That's correct, yes. If there's a crash in the state of Ohio, airplane crash, we're going to respond to it. We'll respond to it, and it doesn't matter where it is in the state of Ohio. We're going to respond to it. We'll notify FAA, and if any federal agencies need to respond, we'll hold the scene for them.
Now, that includes large aircraft then also.
That includes large aircraft, and one of the most recent ones that I can think of, and it was there was a vehicle. It was actually, I believe it was Allegiant Airlines a few years ago, was taxiing. It ran off the runway over at a Youngstown Airport, but we responded to that incident.
Okay.
No one was hurt. It was minor, but we do respond to those incidents and investigate them.
Now, is that a special division of the State Highway Patrol, or is the first responder for that would be whoever happens to be closest?
It would be whoever happens to be closest. It would be the trooper, the next trooper that's available. And with our agency, there's a lot of resources that we have. We have an aviation section. Tracy kind of mentioned it earlier. She's talking about the white lines on the road,
yeah,
or airspeed. But, you know, they have more expertise, if you will, when you talk about things that are in an aircraft. So we have that assistance where we can call them. Maybe we have a question about something about that plane where they can come out and assist us with some of the more technical details involving the aircraft.
Okay. You mentioned, you know, the State Highway Patrol protects the governor. Do they protect any other of our state, senior state representatives or elected officials?
We do. And also we're any dignitary that comes in. So if the President of the United States, if he comes in, Vice President, you know, Ohio is one of them battleground states when it comes to elections and campaign years and things like that. Anytime those people are coming into the state of Ohio, normally the Highway Patrol is involved with some of their protection.
Okay.
Nobody.
No.
Should you push a button?
No. 727. Your mic's open.
Okay. Sticks, can you hear me?
In my profession, from time to time, I'm speeding to get into the hospital. And I've had the occasion, I get pulled over and I let the officer know,
right,
where I'm going and so forth. And the officer says, okay, but don't go as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So is that accepted as common practice, or to the officer's judgment, or
our officers have a lot of discretion.
I have my identification. That's,
yes,
who I am. And
right.
Actually, I had a case in another state where they actually called where I said I was going.
Right.
To say I was legit.
Yes.
You know. So.
You know, our officers hear a lot of stories out there.
Yeah.
You know, people just trying to get out of tickets.
Yeah.
You know. There are times that the people, you know, it may be an emergency where you're trying to get somewhere. Number one, our objective is for people to be safe and get to their destination safe. You know, people are just out blatantly disobeying the speed limit, you know, causing dangerous conditions out there. You know, they pretty much deserve a ticket. But officers have a lot of discretion, and I always tell my people, I tell them, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way you would want your significant other to be treated.
Right.
You know, there are emergencies that happen. There are people like you that's, you know, trying to save someone's life.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen it on national news where, you know, where someone has stopped someone and maybe prevented them from getting the hospital or this, and that. So, you know, officers, you need to use some common sense. You need to use common sense. And, you know, if a warning is appropriate or getting someone on their way is appropriate, I would hope that they would do that, you know, make a quick decision.
Right.
Because the one thing, you know, someone's life could be in danger. So hopefully they make common sense decisions.
Okay. Now, what about, I'm sure they still make gadgets put on your car,
mm-hmm,
radar detectors.
Yes.
are they legal, illegal, depending on what state you're in, or how effective are they?
I can't speak for other states. I can tell you in Ohio, in a car, they are not illegal. In a semi, they are. You know, there's certain federal regulations in semis that they cannot have those radar or laser detectors. But to answer the second part of your question, how effective are they? You know, those ones they pick up, I think there's radar and laser detectors. Radar, they may pick it up if the officer has his radar unit turned on. It could be too late. He may have already checked your speed. Now, with our laser or LIDAR units, normally once it picks it up, we've already checked you. Because we've pulled the trigger, we've locked onto your front bumper, your front plate area, your laser detector goes off, we've checked you. Matter of fact, you may be at a distance where you can barely see us, and we've already checked your speed.
Okay.
So.
Because I know I've been told that once a long time ago that if the trooper is behind a curve, you may not pick it up as readily.
I will tell you, with laser, laser is very accurate technology. You're looking through a scope. We're putting a red dot on your license plate, front or rear or bumper, and you know you could pick a car out. You know, you have 20 cars lined up. You have a clear line of sight. I may see your vehicle coming up 10 cars back. Maybe the guy in front of you is going pretty fast, but I'm looking at your vehicle. And your vehicle is going pretty fast, Doc. So I checked your vehicle. You know, and you're going 15 miles an hour over, and you're thinking, why didn't you stop the guy in front of me? He was going at least 11 miles an hour over, but I picked your vehicle out. So that laser is very accurate. When you talk about radar, you know, there's some errors that can occur. Laser phenomenon.
Oh, we're getting ready to go to break.
Do you let other people order for you at a restaurant?
He'll have a movie.
No, I won't. Or I pick the movie you're going to see. Does she like a ticket to Attack on Rage Mountain?
Really?
Now, come on. So why would you let others make all the important decisions about how your life is going to be when you get older? I mean, is it okay with you if your kids decide where you're going to live? My kids? Are you out?
Are you kidding?
Or perfect strangers choose who will be taking care of you?
No, it's going to happen.
No, better visit longtermcare.gov, the trusted information site that helps you find your own path forward without selling you anything. It takes you step by step through everything you need to consider about aging and all your options. Longtermcare.gov. Stay in charge by planning now or pay later.
How about a mohawk?
How about a mohawk? How about I put my
glove
right? Oh, hi, honey.
I have four.
Did they give you a receipt for it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We never take cash.
$28.
$28.
This was 30 years ago.
Things changed.
Yeah, that was the law in South Carolina. You can go to court and fight it, or you can give me $28 right here on the spot. And it didn't matter how fast you were going. I got pulled over for going 75 and 55.
Teachers save lives?
$28 cash on the spot. You can keep $30 in my back pocket.
Was that the whole state?
Yeah.
How about a
science? I've
never heard
different
of
different jurisdictions.
Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that?
You can go from a ticket
are breaking down
speeding for maybe
finding innovative ways to instill old lessons and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the new home for the Sean Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSOM.
This is the Sean Hannity Show. Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so till 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case. Came up with an agenda and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa was a much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our daddy looked a lot like him.
Well, we're back here for our last 10 minutes of Tracy and Friends, WSOM 600 AM, here on 600 AM WSOM. And our phone number is 347-945-5229. Sticks is here. I got Dr. Hill and Lieutenant Hendricks from the Canfield State Highway Patrol. And we're just finishing up the day. And we want everybody to have a good, happy Thanksgiving, good, safe Thanksgiving. And it's that time of year again. Snow's on the ground. People are running into ditches. Lieutenant Hendricks is really busy. And all his guys are really busy.
We are. Specifically overnight, yesterday afternoon into this morning, we've handled several calls for service. Thank goodness most of them have been pullouts, as we call them, you know, people sliding off the road and getting stuck and just getting pulled out by wreckers. We did have a few injury crashes. But our mission and goal is just for people to be safe, you know, take some extra time to get to their destination, not only during this Thanksgiving holiday season, but even throughout the upcoming year.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
There was, I want to say, it might have been last week, that incident in New Mexico where the mother and like three or four kids were pulled over. You know what I'm talking about?
I believe I saw something on national news where then there was some shots fired and the car was driving away.
Yeah. I mean, I heard different commentary on it.
Right.
I guess my commentary is this. What the woman did was wrong, but you have to be able to relate to the community that you're dealing with or what have you. In a scenario where you have a woman and I think she had three kids.
Okay.
It was obvious she got nervous, became hysterical, and things just went downhill from there.
Yes.
On both parts. So in that scenario, I think it was initially one and then I guess three other backup came. Should there not have been someone from the, I don't know if it was state troopers or what law enforcement level they were, but someone to take charge and say, you know, hold it, let's all calm down. That was obviously a situation that got out of hand. That obviously was. What was your, I mean,
I just saw a news clip. I don't know the exact details of it. I saw, you know, maybe a 30-second news clip and what the commentator said. You know, we have what's called in the state of Ohio, or State Highway Patrol, as a response to resistance continuum, if you will. So basically how we're responding to someone's resistance, whether they're non-compliant, non-combative, maybe they drive away.
Right.
You know, we have certain levels of things that we can use up to including deadly force depending on what type of resistance that person is responding. But I guess to answer your question, you know, maybe if someone should have stepped up, you know, again, I don't know the specifics about this circumstances, but, you know, it's everyone's responsibility, every officer's responsibility. If they see something that's not right or something that they can do a little bit better, to step up, regardless, you know. If there was a supervisor there, hopefully he would have stepped up.
Yeah.
But a lot of that goes back into training. You know, there's times that we're on a stop or some type of situation, and maybe someone says something that I don't agree with or something gets escalated. You know, I'm not going to go to force initially. Hopefully I don't have to. That's the last thing I want to do. Maybe talk to them a little bit.
Yeah.
But just sometimes that training, you recognize, you know what, this person is a little bit nervous. You know, can I do something a little bit different to put them at ease and explain to them exactly what's going on here?
Exactly.
So we don't get to that.
Now, exactly. I know I've been in situations where it's a very combative atmosphere because people are pissed off.
Exactly.
And I understand that they're pissed off.
Right.
Then, so I have to figure out, well, how am I going to get out of this day without folks start yelling?
Yes.
I even had a situation where I told them, I understand you. I'm getting angry because the outcome is not what we expected.
Right.
See,
no.
I don't take offense at you all yelling. I understand. And actually, what ended up happening, the patient ended up sending the rest of her family out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, well, you all need to leave, and then we all talked as, you know, 3/4 or as opposed to 10 people
right.
starting to raise hell. I'm like, I'm called.
No.
I'm saying, hey, look, I understand you're upset. I don't take offense at you yelling at me. And they sort of, they eventually calmed down. He left the room. But that's sort of a special, it's a special trait to be able to
It is. It is. And bless you for having that. And
yeah. yeah.
Well, let's go into these emails that women are getting all the time. Say, you know, if flashing lights pull up behind you, put your four ways on, continue at speed to a well populated area. Is that good advice? I mean, is that something that's not going to upset a state trooper? If they put their say they're driving down a street and they put on a four ways.
You know, I think it all depends on the circumstances. You know, they shouldn't be driving at 100 miles an hour, trying to get to their stuff.
Right.
You know, they need to take stuff.
If they don't increase their speed, say they're
yeah.
driving 60 at a 55.
Right.
Slow down to 55, put your four ways
right.
on, and proceed to a
yeah.
gas station
there you
or
go.
Whatever.
Or maybe even slow down even a little bit less if you can.
Right.
You know, put your four ways on, you know, maybe hand gesture something, acknowledge the officer, and pull over. Yeah. But don't be going on, you know, 5-10 miles.
Right. Right. Well, that's just my stupid.
Yes.
I mean, you can't fix stupid. You just can't fix stupid. I mean, and there's a lot of things that around the country, you know, different people don't know. I went into the Navy in the early 80s.
Okay.
In Ohio, we had red lights on all the police cars had red lights. No unmarked police cars. So I'm in South Carolina, and I'm tooling down a road, 65 miles an hour and a 55 at the time. And this car pulls up at me. It's got this little dinky thing on the dashboard with this blue light in it going roundy, roundy, roundy. That don't mean nothing to me. I'm from Ohio. Until he pulled up beside me and put his Smokey Bear hat on. Then I realized I was in trouble. And the gentleman had no sense of it.
Every state's different. You know, in Ohio, if we're stopping you, it's going to be in a marked car. It's going to have a flying wheel on the side. It's going to have a blue. All of our cars have blue light bars on the top of them.
Now, are unmarked police cars in Ohio illegal? I mean, unmarked for traffic.
You know what? No, they're not. It all depends on the jurisdiction. You know, ours is specifically outlined, the Highway Patrol and the Highway Vice Code. It's going to be a marked car
okay.
When we're stopping you.
But a municipality could have an unmarked...
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
They could.
Wow. I thought Ohio had everything had to be marked. It's not. So what are some other things that, you know, you're watching for as you're out there on patrol, you know, you're out there... watching for what are some of the things that can get you pulled over that you might not know can get you pulled over?
Number one, any violation of the Highway Vice Code, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a moving violation. You know, we preach to people to make sure they have their vehicle in proper order. You can get pulled over for not having if your vehicle is registered in Ohio, not having a front license plate, dark tinted windows, cracked windshield, maybe some type of foreign. A substance on one of your windows. You cannot have any non-transparent material on your windshield, back window, so it could be covered with snow. You know, if we pull up beside you at a traffic light, we see you have bald tires, it's an unsafe vehicle. There's several violations that you can be stopped for.
How big are your tires allowed to be? You know, you see these cars, these shoes,
yeah.
They're way up there.
You know what? There's not a limit on how big the tires are, but depending on the class of vehicle, a lot of times you're looking at a bumper height violation. So with those bigger tires, they're putting springs on that vehicle and getting the bumper height. And normally your car is about 22 inches. So, but again, it all depends on the car, the vehicle, or the type of truck it is.
Okay. Well, now, how often do you pull over someone? A lot of times I'm driving behind someone. They're sort of, and mm-hmm. say, I got to get around this person. And you, as you pass by, you look over and see on the snow.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you all stop people?
You know, they just passed some legislation reference distracted driving, texting while driving. For adults, it's a secondary offense. We don't recommend that you use your cell phone or text while driving. So for an adult, you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to use your cell phone, but we have to have another reason to stop you. So in other words, if you're driving out of your marked lane, you're driving left to center, I can stop you and give you a ticket for driving distracted or texting while using, you know, texting while using your cell phone. Now, juveniles, it's a primary violation.
Well, we're done for the day.
You know, it's one of those
afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.